dynamic over time and the threat of the continental progress in the Lesser Kalahari province is continuing here today to receive a report from the three municipalities invited, that being the city of Johannesburg, the city of Fane, and Emfuleni local municipality. This is a follow-up meeting to our visit in Gauteng sometime in August, where we, due to unforeseen circumstances, could not be able to engage with the three municipalities invited here today. And we, at the time, agreed with the leadership of the municipalities concerned that there will be this kind of a meeting here in Cape Town, so that we conclude our engagement with those identified municipalities of Gauteng. So, honorable members and honorable mayor, the problem we are faced with now is an issue of time. This meeting was originally planned to be a whole day event. We then later changed to start at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But then when the speaker also called the joint sitting this afternoon, we had to change the meeting to this morning. So we are going to be pressed for time because we'll be forced to move at least until 1:30 and finish our deliberations by then, so that we can be able to attend the joint sitting. Apologize for any inconvenience all these changes might have caused, because we understand that the schedule is quite hectic, and we appreciate the fact that despite all these changes, you made time to arrange yourself. And thanks also to Mayor Dow. We were advised that he's not going to leave us today because of another engagement, but is here, and we really appreciate that. So I am quite aware that there's a program in front of you, and I'll be guided by time. So from time to time, I will use my discretion in terms of what comes after what. So you are advised not to concentrate much on the program, because I might change it from time to time to accommodate all the things that we want to achieve today within the time allocated this morning. I must also indicate that a number of members of the committee will be joining us as we proceed, because there's been a number, a series of meetings this morning in Parliament. So as most of us participate in more than one committee, some of the members have to attend in-person meetings and so on and so forth, but they will be joining us. With me, currently, I am with Honorable Sadi Beer, who is the chairperson of Finance Committee, and he represents Northern Cape Province, and next to him is Honorable Makubela, who is from the Limpopo Province. Right at the back is Honorable Lee from the KZN. And I also acknowledge the presence of the members of the legislature, provincial legislature, as well as the mayors of the three municipalities I mentioned earlier. So I welcome, and as well as all road players for different departments, municipal managers, everybody who's been invited here today, as well as members of the public. So, in the interest of time, honorable members, I will deliberately skip the item that needs to ask him to introduce ourselves, but we request that as and when you talk, you then introduce yourself, so that we save whatever time we can save. And without any waste of time, I would then allow the Office of the Auditor General to give us a brief presentation on the performance of these three municipalities in terms of the previous audit outcome. National Treasurer, you've got 20 minutes to give us your report. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members and colleagues. The presentation has been consolidated to be that of Mpumalanga, Johannesburg and Pune, but you will have individual text, which is a more detailed presentation of the 2010-11 audit outcome, but I'll be presenting in the interest of time and a brief version. Our reputation promise, apologies, I should actually have started. My name is Nawati Sekela. I'm the business executive from the Gauteng office of the AGSA. Our reputation promise, as a supreme audit institution, we exist to strengthen our country's democracy, and this we do by auditing. As I mentioned, we'll be covering the audit outcomes for 2010-11 of Mpumalanga Local Municipality, the City of Johannesburg Metropolitan Municipality, and the City of Pune Metropolitan Municipality. This slide depicts the audit outcomes over 5 years, but I will just show a comparison more on 2019 and 2011. In 2019, Mpumalanga was qualified with findings, and in 2011, they the same outcome, which is a qualification, was finding. The City of Johannesburg Metropolitan Municipality in 2019 had a qualification with finding, and also in 2011 sustained a qualification with finding. The City of Pune in 2019 had financially unqualified findings audit opinion, and in 2011 also achieved financially unqualified with finding. This slide for Mpumalanga depicts what it is that are the focus areas coming out of the audit outcome. So what is driving the audit outcomes for Mpumalanga? At the top part of the graphic, we are depicting the key control initiative, which is underpinned by the three pillars of leadership, financial performance, and governance. And it shows that there is some concerted effort that is required in actually putting in controls that are found enough to drive a clean governance and to also enable the municipality to achieve clean audit outcomes. At the bottom there, it will depict what the main findings are. Under supply chain management, there was minimal improvement for the year we looked at. For predetermined objectives, there was also minimal improvement. Under HR, we had minimal improvement. And IT control, also minimal improvement. And then the maintenance to the financial statements that were submitted to us also had minimal improvement. This depicts for planning, showing again the state of the key controls, and then also depicting the areas where there were some improvements or no improvements. The areas where we did not have improvements was under supply chain, where we had some improvement was under supply chain management, predetermined objectives, and then under HR there were no material findings. And then at IT, we had no improvement as well as the extent of adjustments that were expected to the financial statement. This breaks down the focus areas that I mentioned of the supply chain, predetermined objectives, HR, IT, and material errors. It gives a little bit more detail on what the findings were. So if we look at Mpumalanga, under supply chain, we had findings or invitations for competitive bidding were not always advertised as required for a minimum period of days. We also had findings where awards were made to providers who are persisting in the service of other state institutions, and they failed to declare that they were employed in the state, and then as a result there was a contravention of SCM. Investigations, however, on the procurement process are currently underway. On the area of predetermined objectives, we found that information was not useful. 93% of the selected objectives were not verifiable. And also we had findings around the liability, which was that 51% of the indicators had no false information, meaning that we're then not able to test this and get confidence to the reliability thereof. Under HR, the findings related to consultants were used to prepare financial statements. And as I mentioned earlier, and you'll see at the bottom, the material errors in the financial consultants to prepare the financial statement, you would have some expectation that the financial rule would be prepared by adequately skilled individuals and would require, if not some, but minimal adjustments from the audit process. And then we're also concerned about then the transfer of the skills to the municipal employees. And then the main area where we had a concern with the use of the consultants, which resulted in a qualification, was around sector. And then they had challenges around same positions, which percent of the approved structure is vacant, and employees work more hours than allowed, and then contravenes to the overtime allowable in terms of the basic conditions of employment. And then if you do have such high vacancies in the structure, inevitably it would affect your financial statements and your audit outcomes in one way or another, because the vacancies are around some key areas, that they would have been keeping the acting positions. It's just that sometimes when you have acting positions, the accountability thereof is not as heavy as there was somebody who was in a permanent position. IT controls remains a challenge not across the board, and we have found that here in the areas we're particularly concerned about is there's poor user access control, and there's no formal program for change management processes. On to the city of Johannesburg, continuing with those, the main qualification for the city of Johannesburg is different to that of a previous year, and different in the sense that they've addressed their previous year qualification areas. So the revenue findings we raised here is a new area. What we qualify on is the fact that property category differences between their land information system and building systems were different. And then also the actual meter readings were not used for bidding purposes. And then customers are billed on estimates. Under supply chain, where there's been minimal improvement, we found that there's been a use of regulation 36, which often the reasons substantiated, then we had differences in whether those reasons meet the requirements for the use of Regulation 36, and then they resulted in irregular expenditure. And the other funding pertained to awards of contracted people that are working in the municipality, as well as in other state institutions. And then also there were instances where declarations were not made, but more of false declarations made by suppliers. And predetermined objectives, our findings related to the usefulness of the reported information. There were changes to plan targets which were not approved. And then planned and reported targets were not well defined, specific and measurable, often referred to it as SMART. And then the reported information was not reliable. We also had issues of proper record keeping, but the municipality was not maintained in the areas of leave, and that resulted in a qualification for the leave liability and hence the regression in that regard. Unauthorized expenditure, there was overspending on guardian services provided by the JMPD, and then fruitless and wasteful expenditure that results from payment of creditors over 30 days, and then they've been charged penalties in that regard, and then penalties from staff, and then expenditure for resources that are not utilized. And lastly, there were material amendments to the financial statements. On to the city of Tshwane and the supply chain management, we have instances where awards were made to people who are working in the municipality, 41 employees working in the municipality, and 127 of people working in other state institutions. Then we had also non-compliance with Regulation 36, which resulted in irregular expenditure as a result of deviations not meeting the criteria for Regulation 36. Under predetermined objectives, we had findings were raised in the municipal owned entity, namely Housing Company and Sandbury Works, and there we had issues with the presentation and the usefulness of the planned and reported targets, where 70% of the targets were not measurable and also were not smart. And then also we had issues with reliability and of actual reported performance, where 29% were not valid and accurate when compared to false information. And then under HR, there were no material findings. And the IT control, the general control environment has some shortcomings that relate to security management, user access, IT service continuity, and the nature of these processes. And again, there we had material amendments to the financials. They related to incorrect classification and recorded liabilities and unrecorded intangible assets. And then this slide depicts from the time we presented the results, we had numerous engagements with the leadership to get a sense of what will they be looking at in order to drive team administration. And also discussed under the pillars of the key controls, which are underpinned by the leadership, financial performance management, and governance. And when we have those quarterly key controls engagement, and we also look at the end, we just highlighted here what are the areas and they that need attention. I will not go through all of them, but I will just highlight one or two. So under leadership, we asking there that the Infulini leadership give particular attention to addressing the action plans to address all the findings identified in previous years, and then hopefully this will eradicate the repeated qualification, and then also look at performance evaluation of Section 56 employees so that it can be in a position to hold people accountable to an effective and robust performance management process. And other financial and performance management, in order to reduce the incurrence of unauthorized regular fruitless and wasteful expenditure, it would be advisable to have a contract register which puts the municipality in a position to track their contract, determine when they're going to expire, and then put them through their tender processes in time and avoid the unnecessary use of the deviations and incur the expenditure. And then also, as I mentioned earlier, one of their qualifications related to fixed assets, and that was as a result of the the consultants being used to assist with the preparation of a fixed asset register. So to engage tirelessly to monitor the use of the consultants and then to take the necessary regulation where they have not done that which they should have done. And governance, I think the governance, when we have repeat qualifications, we always talk to the fact that there can be a much improved role that can be played by the governance structures, whether it's by internal audit to look at processes much earlier, to track action plans, and then the audit committee to review the financials more robustly and to give critical feedback. And then their recommendations, they need to be implemented by management. On to the city of Johannesburg. Here we've put in the commitments that have been made by the leadership from the time that we engaged them on the audit outcome. And they've commented that they will address all the audit issues relating to the revenue management. They will engage the customers extensively and try and resolve their queries. And then also they're looking at resolving system integration issues, so that we close the gap around source data. I mean, the qualification is around meter readings are taken, they load it onto the system, but we are putting on instruments. So to close the gap around saying, place credibility on the data that it is and use it as a substantiation of the reading that is eventually bought. The deep provision record will be properly captured and maintained, and that has already been resolved in the audit process. And then improved documentation of reasons for supply chain deviation. There is a supply chain deviation framework, and the commitment there is for it to be looked at and to test its robustness and where necessary to enhance it so that we reduce the instances of irregular expenditure resulting from these documentation. In addition, to closing the gap, the COJ have also committed to preparing monthly financial statements with supporting documentation. They will look at reconciliation between revenue and debtors, and whatever exception reports are generated from the system will be timely followed up. And then the audit committee chairperson will attend quarterly e-control meetings with the executive mayor, and then interim audit was performed by the HSA for 8 months. Then the city of final commitment. And on the commitments that I'm sharing, status quo as of 2011. I just confined my discussion to what it is that they said they would be doing as opposed to reflecting on what the status quo is at the moment. And then on to the city of Pune, the leadership, the mayor, will continue to chair the Operation Clean Audit Committee, and OPCO officials have been appointed in the city to ensure that prior year audit outcomes are attended to timelessly. And then with the integration of the Mugredin, Nogayan, Kungwini municipality, the Operation Clean Audit Committee and the officials will focus on that in order to try and ensure that there will be no regression. There will be concerted efforts to provide oversight over the municipal entities, because those are the ones where, as I mentioned earlier, we had one or two findings on the audit of predetermined objectives. And then this will be done by identifying who exactly in the city that the respective entities will be reporting to. Under financial and performance management, we've trained the internal auditors in collaboration with National Treasury on our methodology of auditing predetermined objectives. And the internal auditors then now proactively auditing on a quarterly basis the predetermined objectives so as to fill the gap on the findings. Monthly financial statements are being tabled. The enhancement day is to do them with the audit schedule and the consolidations of the accounts. And then also to report on they are reporting on a monthly basis the irregular fixes and wasted expenditure deviations to council. And they have an framework there also which they are testing for its robustness to curb the irregular expenditure. It has decreased significantly from the previous year. And then they're busy with training officials to raise awareness on compliance with SCM legislation, particularly around doing work for widely employed by the municipality and to discourage that. IT findings, they're going to attend to those. Financial and performance management, revenue reconciliations on assessment risks are not done on a regular basis, and on governance, enhance the board and prevention plan and issues communicated to employees. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Lady. Honourable members, any questions for Lavity on the report? Honourable Matilda?
No, thank you, Chair. Chair, I just want some clarification in as far as number of issues are concerned. Across the three municipalities that you spoke about, you are talking about iteration. And that touches on the 90% that you spoke about, the 61% information that is not reliable, the 50% vacant posts. You also speaking about 41 employees who are trading with the municipalities. And the IT security, can you come to specifics? Just give us information as to what are the issues so that we can deal with them directly. Because you see, you are too general. You are too general, and therefore, it is impossible for us to deal with those specific issues.
Chairman, thank you to the Board General for their report. Chairman, not a great deal of time was provided, and I accept it's very difficult to give a detailed report. But the question of a short statement of penalty from SARS, how much are we talking about? And for what reasons are these penalties? And then expenditure for resources not utilized. What were these resources and how much was involved? And then the material amendments to the annual financial statement in just one or two of the kinds of material amendments that were required, given this, this is a mixture, not a small municipality in the Northern Cape. And the question of the underspending on the public transport and infrastructure and systems grant, would that have come into the audit? The spending is only 41.6%. Is that something that wouldn't have been covered by the audit? And then the criminal conduct, which resulted in some 6 million rand loss in 2010-11, was that followed up in the that's just general aspects, Chairman. I haven't got my mind around the other two. We've got three presentations which have been sort of combined into one.
Another one,
Chairperson, thank you for the agency office for this presentation. Question: since when is this office as indicated on your presentation giving training to the financial section in these three municipalities? Since when? If you look at your findings and if you look at the report from National Treasury that's been tabled here today.
Thank you. Mr. Auditor, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Chief. The first question around AOPO, I tried to quickly get a sense of the point. On AOPO, they compose 41 employees for the city of Tshwane trading and IT security. I do apologize that we haven't gone into the much of the details given the time constraints and the arbitrage and the reports are quite extensive. But I would like to refer with the humblest of requests the members to the general report which we tabled the next one on the we tabled it on the 23rd of July. That general report has a detailed analysis of every municipality, their audit outcomes, and what it is that has been done or what it is that ought to be done around addressing the audit outcomes. And I did not bring it with me or think I would have a chance to go through too much of the detail. On the issue of the city of Johannesburg, also around the penalties, material amendments to the financial statement, with the penalties, because of that not being paid on time, the material amendments, the financial statements, as I mentioned, we have qualifications on, just to name one or two, we have qualifications on revenue and we have qualifications on leave. I think before we get to the stage of qualification, there would have been some attempt by the Metropolitan to make adjustments to try and correct the position. So it would be around revenue adjustments, it could be adjustments to the journals, and it would be adjustments around to the if I mentioned just one and two. And the last question on training. The training is specifically for the predetermined objectives, which we often refer to as AOPO. Since the introduction of expressing an audit opinion in the management report or AOPO, we had to embark on a readiness strategy to make sure that the management of the audit team who will be using that information understand what it is that we're doing. So we've been training them. We'll continue to provide training on a regular basis. And last year we decided to have a focus training. Sorry, this year in February we decided to have a focus training to say this, try and capacitate the internal auditors to try and get them to have a more proactive as opposed to a reactive approach on AOPO. And we'll continue to train on any basis and then extend it to the internal audit and the external audit committees and whoever requires it. I hope I can answer the decision.
Yes, it's a very general reply. In general, this training is coming on since 2000, 2001. There's a reason I'm asking this. You'll see why when we come to the MMA. Mm. We want specifics.
Okay. Honourable Member, perhaps let me,
for now, let's note the question raised. Let's note the question raised and then allow municipalities to table their report. And note that, Honorable Martina, and allow municipalities to table their report. If in their presentation your reports are not, your questions are not answered, we can still come back to the HG. I'm sure by that time we can go to the details that you are asking for. Otherwise, we run a risk of being stuck on this item. Honorable Martin.
The chair, we asked this question to the HG. That's been dealing with all these municipalities, but this might be misleading. You know, because this is a public meeting. No? The public out there has this information in it. You know? It might not be the correct picture. Because we want AG to correct the situation around all these municipalities. You know? So that when they report, if there's a conflict within the AG report and their report, you know, we're able to can pick up because already there's a perception that is being detected out right there, you see, which might be correct or wrong. And that's what we want to correct now.
No, thanks, Honorable. I think I take your point, but municipalities are here, they were listening at the presentation. This report has been issued, and I want to believe that if there were any queries, that by now has been long attended to. So, let's allow municipalities to present, and if you feel that you are still not satisfied and you still have got enough time, I will allow that to be back to this particular specifics. I think we do have that report. I'll request the secretary of the committee to get a copy of that report so that we can make mention of those details that honorable members want. So, on that point, honorable members, if you allow me, I will then, without any waste of time, hand over to honorable the mayor of the city of Johannesburg.
Thank you, honorable chairman and honorable members. I do, of course, also acknowledge your honorable Minister for Finance, Manu Kongfeng, his colleagues in the House and Provincial Legislature. We prepared a presentation, and of course, maybe before I start with the presentation, I can mention the President, Provincial Government, Government and the departments that we've been engaged with in the Office of Law Attention. We prepared our presentation to a large extent in line with the issues that your good office that indicated we need to respond to, and the presentation would be pretty much focused on those sort of issues and hopefully we'll clarify some of the issues that might be of concern, but also respond to some of the issues that have been raised by the auditor general. In this report, the progress to date and the engagement that we've had with the Office of the Auditor General. I don't think, though, that the point that Honorable Mandela is raising is an issue to be noted. I mean, we look at an example like expenditure on the PTIS grant and levels of expenditure indicated there. We become somewhat surprised as to where those numbers come from, because in many instances, in fact, we've had to raise short-term money to be able to spend on PTIS grant before it even comes to our books from national transport. So we actually raise money to spend it before it arrives in agreement with the Department of Transportation. Therefore, one becomes somewhat surprised or perplexed when there's a suggestion that we have underspent in instances where, in fact, we do tend to spend it before the grant is received in line with the necessary regulation. I'm here with my colleagues, member of the Mayoral Committee for Finance, Jeff Makupu, the City Manager, Mr. Trevor Bowen, and the CFO, Mr. Quinton Green. With your indulgence, may I request Mr. Green to then proceed to present.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Honorable. I'm not sure if you have also prepared a copy.
They have been circulated.
Okay.
under the request of this committee, you've addressed these seven areas. As far as we look at cash flow, sources of revenue, spending patterns, performance, with regards to conditional grants, development and implementation of budgets, compliance with the FMA, we'll address the conduct of some liabilities and our plans to address the audit findings. Chairperson, in respect of cash flow, since December 2007, the City of Johannesburg has maintained minimum cash balance in excess of $2 billion. In fact, we closed the year in June with a balance of $2.1 billion. We've maintained since the financial year balance of this month as well. From time to time, the City issues commercial paper to address short-term mismatches in cash flow, and we raised $1.1 billion. Worth of commercial paper in 11-12 compared to $3.4 billion in the previous year. And it's important to note that by April 2012, all commercial paper was redeemed, so there was no commercial paper outstanding at the end of the year, and this is now on the positive balance of 2.1. It's anticipated that it's unlikely or requiring further commercial paper during the course of the current year. Just as a brief indication, we maintain general bus banking facilities. As you can see, at the end of June, our total cash receipts exceeded our cash expenditure for the year. As an indicator, the City has, as one of its important measures, the current liability at the end of the financial year again, which is going to be 1.25 assets to 1 liabilities. And while debt and creditors balance is a key contributor, debt and creditors alone without other current assets and liabilities 0.88 on the consumer debt in the books of the City at $6.1 billion, trade payables at $6.97 billion. So the City enjoys a pretty healthy state of liquidity and financial position on its balance sheet. With reference to the credit rating background, we have a dual rating by both Fitch and Moody's Investor Services. At the beginning of the year, Fitch rated the City as AA1 long-term and F1 plus in the short term with a stable outlook, while Moody's rated the City as AAC in the long term, 2-1 in the short term, also stable. Regrettably, the RSA national government was downgraded to negative in February 2012, and there was a concomitant reduction of all SAFL entities, so we were downgraded from negative to stable as well. Moody's affirmed our rating in March at AA3, long term, 2-1, a negative outlook, and Moody's further downgraded us on the 1st of October, again following this up and downgrade. Fitch reaffirmed its rating of AA- in the long term and F1 in the short term in July of this year. Based on previous ratings, the ratings agencies have rated us according to the steady recovery of liquidity within the City, what they saw was stable operating performance, growing investments by the City and a balanced budget over the cycle, while really saw a very strong revenue growth in the City supported by broad tax base with moderate financial leverage and viable consolidated strategies for bidding challenges. Regrettably, again last week, we downgraded the CSA by one notch to AA1, P1 and other sub-sovereigns due to a single notch downgrade of the sovereign entity again. This is available because we believe the City is showing improved financial performance and health, which does not warrant a downgrade. The downgrades on this point are not due to any internal financial fundamentals, but due to the sub-sovereign situation which is implied. But despite the downgrade, the standalone credit Moody's reasons for the sovereign downgrade were infrastructure shortfalls in the nation, relatively high labor costs, and certainly a prospect of low levels of interest rates, ruling parties leading a number of discussions that involved the South African authorities' reduced capacity to handle the current political and economic situation. So those are the reasons stated by Moody's. Moody's further stated that high domestic and investment rates restrained debt accumulation and maintenance of sound economic policy would support the state of Africa. The impact of the downgrade is theoretically an increase in the borrowing rate for the City. Currently, 79.1% of the City of Johannesburg's borrowing book is fixed, while the remaining 20.9% is floating. So any change in rates would have a very, very small impact then on the City of Johannesburg. So that in theory limits our debt raising capability, but we don't believe that this will have any impact whatsoever. In respect to sources of collections, Chairperson, it's important to note that service charges account for more than 50% of the city Johannesburg's revenue, while property rates account for a further 16%. Grants and subsidies account for approximately 25%, with EPWP giving 86.7 million, NPG 70.8, PDI is 970 million, and USD 1.3 billion. So that counts for the 2.46 billion of planned revenue for the 2012-2013 year. It's important to note that the city of Johannesburg now has a revenue budget of 33 billion, which places the city of Johannesburg amongst the 20 top largest entities, not at any public sector in the Republic of South Africa. In respect of our debt collection, in 2013, the budget is demonstrated we would collect 92.3% of our debt. The plan is to increase that 92.7% in the following year and 93% in 2014-15. Our ultimate goal is by 2020 to achieve 97% of all debt collection. We do want to point out that our average debt collection on the Boston financial year has been 91.5%, and also point out that the city is fully compliant with Chapter 9 of the Municipal Systems Act as relates to debt collection and as required in the MMA. We've also managed to ensure that creditors are settled within the registered 30 days of invoice. Chairperson, I must point out that there are always going to be exceptions to this rule where accounts are under query or under dispute, as is normal with any business entity whatsoever, and I believe that the city's compliance in the payments of creditors is of the highest order compared to both private and public sector businesses. There have been limited defaults and obligations, and monthly expenditure monitoring on a very stringent basis ensures that those targets are achieved. And all of these banks are done again to personally remind the MFMA. Our feeding patterns of performance will continue for additional grants. Chairperson, the budget for June 30, 2012 was 3.7 billion. Action expenditure was 3.3 billion, with a balance unspent of 407, giving us an expenditure of 89%. The city of Johannesburg normally enjoys high levels of expenditure on that. But changes in the institutional review where the city was looking at changes in its organizational structure or some delays this year. Some of the expenditure was delayed as a result of the fact that beyond the operating division, that the necessary rollover of the finance has been arranged especially in terms of catching up on that expenditure in the new financial year. Just as some examples, the major entities within the city, City Power, Johannesburg Water, Pick It Up, Health, Parks have all attained their levels of expenditure to a level of 94%. In terms of other loans, there was some slippage, transportation primarily in terms of the BRT system, where changes to the planned routes from Oxford Road to the Wetter Avenue caused some delays in expenditure, but that will again be brought up during the course of the current year. Just some of the reasons for the underspending. Community development, non-spending with Carnegie grant system, and the details are all in the handout chapter, so I won't go through them all. Delays in the Orlando sewer alignment project, underspending in respect to the neighborhood development grant project, which has been rolled over, as I mentioned, the change from Oxford Road to Newport Avenue in transportation, and then the city parks and the emergency management services, again, small delays related to current projects. In terms of long-term planning, the Johannesburg GDS 2040 strategy is about resilience, sustainability, and livability. Resilience being the ability to work together and support each other in times of need, and it's about our ability to adapt to difficult situations by recognizing the strengths and assets, and by having the capacity to mobilize in times of need and still deliver on promise. Sustainability relates again to inequality and poverty, as well as the creation of a better life for all. About thriving for a healthy and good lifestyle in the city, about acknowledging that the city must continue, therefore we must harness natural resources for the future sustainability. Livability is about an environment that promotes civic engagement and a sense of place through safety, sustainable choices and socioeconomic opportunity. It's about having access to an adequate, affordable, environmentally sustainable and coordinated transportation system, as well as aligned housing and economic opportunities. So basically, the city planning process represents described as bold as pebbles and granules, with the Johannesburg 2040 long-term financial perspective being the boulders, the local currency are being budgeted in the CPIP annuals in that sense. So that is a strategic planning framework. In the short term, the city plans to stabilize the city finances and upgrade the land that has already been achieved, refine the initial implementation of the IDP and accelerate service delivery and improve customer and citizen experiences. In the medium term, the consolidation of the city's finance, service delivery being the norm, excellence being the norm, and acceleration of the implementation of IDP flagship programs, while in the long term, looking at the ongoing financial stability and resilience of the city, the ability to handle any situation that might encounter the city, and the impact assessment of implementation of the IDP flagship programs against the city's outcome. So that is all about changing the course, the city's course towards the 2040 vision. Changing courses involves redirecting and reorientating the collective energies, basically moving away from things that we do currently which may not be as important as doing things which are important to the future, and redirecting the energies of the city's administration in that direction. Building capacity for inclusion and creating a high-performance municipality. Continuing with the acceleration of basic services such as water, roads and electricity, this is paving the way again for the realization of the city's vision chairperson is framed around four outcomes continuing to be 2040. Outcome one, improved quality of life and development of resilience for all people within the city. Outcome two is to ensure well-developed, sustainable, resilient, livable urban infrastructure, supportive of a low carbon economy. Outcome three, inclusive, job-intensive, resilient and competitive economy, while outcome four is to ensure a leading metropolitan government that proactively contributes to and builds sustainable, socially inclusive, locally integrated, and globally competitive GCR. In aligning imperatives to a person of changing the city's course in the short term, the following key IDP flagship programs post implementation. Financial sustainability, which underpins the ability to achieve all the other flagship programs, the shift to a low carbon infrastructure, the integrated waste management program, ensuring greenways and mobility for the city, moving from informal settlements to sustainable human settlements, ensuring a proper urban water management program, involving citizens in decision-making and empowering citizens, arranging strategic communication and marketing for the city, investing in human capital development and management, ensuring a safe, secure and resilient city that protects their role and empowers communities, and ensuring economic growth, but especially a city where none go handy. Chairperson, in looking at the relationship, the city's budget year is about 4.2 billion spent on capital expenditure and 3.4 billion operating expenditure. The city will attempt to bring the level of capital expenditure in the short-term future to between 15 and 20% of total expenditure of the city. And it's important to note the correlation and integration of capital expenditure and operational expenditure. And for that reason, the city has to manage both components in conjunction. We cannot manage them in separate silos, but within the activities of the city. Compliance legislation to person. We maintain in the city a compliance, a legislative compliance register. Templates on legislative compliance, including food from waste and expenditure in terms of Section 32 and 102 of the MFMA, are completed by all departments throughout the city on a monthly basis to indicate whether or not they have complied with the various legislative provisions. Reasons have to be given for any non-compliance and corrective measures, as well as mitigation to ensure that non-compliance is not repeated. The legal department in the city maintains a compliance register and a food from waste and expenditure register. The legal department reports to the mayoral committee and senior management regarding the levels of compliance at all times, and the legal department also monitors new draft bills, laws and legislation which impact on the city, and these are forwarded to the head of the various departments so that at all stages of the city is informed as to requirements in terms of legislative programs. Looking at current assets and liabilities, Chairperson. As I mentioned earlier, the adjusted budget indicated that the city is looking at a 0.91 current ratio, moving to 1.18 during the year, 1.45 in the 2014 estimate. That the city during 11-12 was able to improve on the target of 0.91 and actually managed to achieve a current ratio of 1.02, which is significantly above the minimum requirements. The current assets increase further to 33.3 billion in the 13-14 year. That is not a small effort. Let's address the audit finding. It appears to regrettably the city has for the past years had a qualified audit opinion from the auditor general. And I'll emphasize that the administration of the city is doing everything in its power to make sure that in the short term those audit qualifications are addressed. We believe that substantial progress has been already made during the current year and that the situation of minimal medical emphasis will be achieved during the 2012-2013 audit year. The major issues of qualification relate to leave, as the AG's already reported this morning, and matters related to mainly in the main incorrect billings and readings for rates, power and water. We believe that the issues related to rates, water and power have already been addressed during the current year, and that the leave pay issues were resolved immediately after the audit last year. So the city is anticipating a far improved position during the current year than was expected over the previous years. However, we have to acknowledge that there were system weaknesses in the city, some of which will be addressed in the short term, and I'll refer to them later under the revenue step change project matter, but that some of the issues will take longer to resolve, particularly as relates to the enhancement and improvement of computer technologies. Detailed action plans are in place, not only for the audit report, but also for the entire management letters issued by the Auditor General. All findings are shared on an ongoing basis with affected departments, but with all departments, to ensure that the issues are addressed across the organisation as a whole. Regular follow-ups are done in each department, ensuring that the relevant target dates are achieved. This is an opportunity for the city to potentially control the internal control environment and strengthen the internal control mechanisms. We without hesitation implement recommendations made by the AG in the auditing report regarding internal controls. It has become an important part of the city's life to make sure the recommendations made by the audit are implemented within the city. The city has implemented a strengthened oversight system and strengthened responsibility of senior management for improvement of matters. We've improved the consistency of data and records and further engagement with the AG to find common ground in the interpretation and understanding the supply chain management regulations. We're enhancing revenue management in the city through the revenue step change roadmap announced late last year to ensure a more customer-centric approach to billings and revenue issues and to ensure a comprehensive turnaround plan for the improvement of the revenue systems within clearly defined timetables and deliveries. Focusing on identifying key risks and step-ups for the role of JRAS, internal audit and risk management, and at the end of last year, the city secured the services of KPMG to assist not only the revenue step change project, but also assist in addressing the audit challenges posed to the city. Key focus areas is risk-based internal audit plan for 2012, and again, I'm not going to go into it. The audit plan 2011-2012 covers areas of controls and weaknesses pointed in 2009-10 and 2010-11, the matters of qualification about separate revenue management, financial management, and performance management. We have had follow-up audit projects completed on 2019 audit's general management letter and the 2010-11 management letter. And I do want to add, even though this presentation does not address it, that the interim audit report issued by the AG at the end of March this year has already been fully addressed and met the attempt to by the city. We've looked at the 2011-2012 matters, performance management information, management is being advised on SMART, group internal audit performance information being undertaken, and quarterly audits of performance information also being undertaken. And constant and ongoing liaison has been maintained with the Auditor General during the current year. Final analytic review of 10-11 outcomes and approaches has been done. 64% of all action plans were addressed by March 2012, and by May this year, the remaining 36% were done. There are frequent updates to the accounting officer and to the group auditing committee in respect to these audit matters. Year-to-date progress is the audit readiness, the audit project is completed, the executive management team's details and summaries updates on all AGSL management has been followed. future, but the remittance change project is probably more significant matter than was seen in the news. The intention of the revenue step change project is to maintain and continue a sustainable revenue model for the city of Johannesburg, where service delivery continues to thrive. In terms of revenue collection, the plan is to collect revenue from all customers and maintain the current growth in revenue collection. To implement a revenue collection strategy which identifies the needs of the various customer segments and the customer experience is to reduce the waiting time in the call center and customer service center, to reduce the calls lost due to the customer frustration with waiting, and to develop and implement service standards that improve the customer experience, and finally to improve query and resolution turnaround times. The roadmap is implemented comprised of three phases, namely a quick wins phase, which ends on the 28th of February, the stabilization phase, which has two components, one is the identification of interventions and the achievement of the direction of those interventions by the end of this year, and thirdly, the ongoing maintenance and improvement and further development of the IT environment to the 30th of June next year. This is the model, Chairperson. There are two main stages within the program that's been undertaken. The longer term stage is change to the IT model. Like all organizations, the city of Johannesburg is faced with an IT environment that quickly goes out of date. As we all know, the changing environment in IT necessitates regular, more frequent upgrades than maybe one would like in the environment, and that now needs to be undertaken by the city over the next 4 months and longer. However, that needs to be addressed in the interim. To this extent, backlogs have been addressed. And while there are a number of gaps that need to be addressed, there are 7 major intervention areas that have been identified that will be addressed in the short term. One is the correction of customer details, making sure names, addresses, contact details are correct. 2 is the resolution of all queries that citizens of Johannesburg might have. 3 is managing the call value and volumes that do come into the city. 4 is ensuring there is revenue completeness, making sure that all meters are billed and that we do not only build on estimates. Now, there are a number of reasons for estimates. A number of meters are inaccessible. Unfortunately, in all the nature, thankfully known, which are not accessible. And it takes time to be able to access those meters. And in fact, in a special effort made over Main Gene, some homes were visited in excess of 10 times to try and gain access. And our meterings were still unable to gain access. In those instances, making estimates is unavoidable. We are attempting to reduce that and to make sure that there are matches on actual for all meter reading. Similarly, a project is being undertaken at the moment to ensure that all property categories also read between the land information system and the Blink system. However, there are always exceptions to those classifications where there has been condemnation of land use for other purposes, and one will always find some mismatches between the categorization and zoning of property and the manner in which profits are rated. Revenue accuracy is something we're working on, making sure accounts are correct. And then finally, credit management. And this is very important. Regrettably, the city has slipped in many ways in imposing billings routines that is understandable in tough economic times, that a number of households will struggle to pay their bills. But the city is again implementing far more stringent credit control routines to make sure that the money that is due to the city will be collected by the city and will be collected in time. As an indication of the number of non-typical queries, Chairperson, I'm just putting this up for illustration purposes, to see how the number of non-technical queries rises over winter months, where the large extent accounts are perceived to be incorrect because the higher levels of service charges, particularly electricity, that consumers are experiencing at the moment. We did initiate, as part of the project to attain clean audit for the city, we introduced the zero tolerance project earlier in the year from May to August, where extensive programs were implemented to read meters. And this project was quite successful, but obviously it changed the number of bills. There were a number of catch-ups against estimated readings, so this resulted in a number of queries as well, when people were now getting catch-ups on their accounts. But it's unfortunately a painful process that one has to go through in the chain of credit in your billing cycle. Issues relating to the valuations role need to be addressed as well in terms of supplementary valuation role. terms of technical queries, one also sees going to the one to care an increase in the number of technical queries, but the number of queries that the city handles indicates the sheer size of the city in terms of the number of queries received. Chairperson, finally, just reattached to the presentation a number of the acronyms. And I think chairperson, that gives a broad perspective in the short time available, an analysis of the situation in the city.
Thank you very much. That's the presentation from the City of Johannesburg. Honourable members, I'll request that you just note your questions. We will allow questions after all the municipalities have presented, so that at least we have much time to engage with each municipality. Otherwise, we might spend the whole 3 to 2 hours on one municipality and then take enough time for another. I before we pass, Honourable Mayor, you in your opening you made a point about PTIS grant. I want you to clarify that point so that at later stage we can allow either the Treasury or the AG's office to comment on that. I wouldn't want us to leave that hanging. If you could clarify, because I also did not understand very clear as to what we accept on this.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. But the point raised earlier with regard to levels of expenditure on capital budgets, particularly so far as it relates to grants received, including the PTIS grant, and the issue we're raising is that from the information that seems to be at your disposal, there could be discrepancies because there's a suggestion that levels of expenditure are standing at 41%. And we certainly would think that it would be fine access. That's the point I was making. That in relation to the points that were raised by Honorable Matila, there could be areas of clarification that we need to provide, but also reconcile our data with that of National Trust.
I'm sure there's no confusion that the AG report was related to the past outcome, not the current situation. Let's now take Efuleni. The mayor of Efuleni.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to everyone. Members of the committee. May I say all the other friends. Thank you, Chair, for giving us this opportunity to come and present our turnaround strategy in the local municipality of Efuleni. We have challenges, Chair. One challenge that we're facing is our major challenge. It's our cash flow problem that we're facing as a municipality. But we'll give it to the presentation, Chair, to say how we're solving this problem. So if you allow me, Chair, to allow my colleague, Mr. Shabalala, to give the presentation, we are here with Mr. Matala, who's our acting Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mayor.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and Executive Mayor, and members of the State Committee, and colleagues from the Office of Government and local government. Honourable Chairperson, by the directive of the Executive Mayor, we have prepared a very detailed document. We don't hope to go through it all. We hope to glean parts sometimes the CFO would share with us. The directive of the Executive Mayor was that in most instances SM Fulani is one of the growing local municipalities with its own teething problems and it's carried those. There's been a lot of misunderstanding on the path of the growth that the municipality is taking with itself towards its own recovery. We've also seen in some presentations, even up to at the level of committees in Parliament, where sometimes even the municipality has just been equated to one of its seats. Many people would think that when they talk about Fulani, they talk of another park. And it is seen within that prism, even in the media, which is like a very tiny municipality in the country, and not one of the biggest local municipalities in the country at the moment. And that has come with a difficulty of growth associated with itself.
for that reason, the executive mayor was of the view that we needed just to show some background into the municipality a little, and then also we are very detailed in the submission from the strategic level that the CC has, that the intention is that most of our findings were very operational in nature, and therefore the presentation has been focused to be very detailed operationally, and also a reference point for the audit committee, for the committee to go through to exercise its own oversight. So it is main point of the presentation as a reference meeting for further details. As a context, the municipality, the asset value is 9 billion rand. This will be seen later on as to the growth, as to where it comes from. The municipal budget, 11 and 12, is 2.7, and now it's about 4.5 billion. That's the size of the municipality. Services coverage, 98% of the people living in Fuleni have access to water and sanitation. The 2% is mostly related to people living in small holdings and farm areas around the town. Electricity is about 97%. Potable water compliance 100%, which says Fuleni is also one of those municipalities that has got the blue drop. And yet, the wastewater discharge compliance, this is important, Chairperson, as a select committee came to Fuleni based on the past history of Fuleni of non-compliance in terms of wastewater discharges into the Val River, and which was specifically visited by the select committee to see a progress that has been done. And the improvement there has gone up to 97%, and the refuse collection is at 100%. The key challenge from a municipal context, unemployment is very high in Fuleni. We hope that we even postulate that it might be the highest in our province. Infrastructure backlog inherited, 10 billion rand, road infrastructure, 9 billion. Electricity backlog, that's basically just bringing infrastructure up to optimal operational level. Those are the backlogs that this municipality would have to eradicate. Payment levels in previously disadvantaged areas, you would see 10% disconnect directly with the situation which the municipality finds itself in currently in terms of its dire cash flow situation. Then if 3% is coming from those areas, these areas make about 55% of the municipal population. Certain areas like Chapo, Everton, Sibukeng, and so on. So that mismatch in terms of income from those areas, basically you providing a service for free to those areas, and the other areas cannot sustain the municipality, and that will be seen directly with the cash flow challenges that the municipality has to handle. Our standing debt is a 2 billion rand, and the biggest challenge at the moment is that our cash flow is unfavorable and very delicate. Water losses, 180 million rand per annum. I want to also clarify to the committee that a bit of a problem in defining water losses. At the moment we have settled with that, but actually this is supposed to be non-revenue water, which correlates with those areas where we are not collecting. Because in those areas, most people don't pay for water. And sometimes we tend to put it in the AFS as a lower figure of water losses of 45%, which is not a real true reflection. And it's a policy review to look at that, so that the AFS could reflect the difference between water losses as well as non-revenue, which means unpaid for water. So that the distinction is also good. Where the distinction is much clearer is electricity losses. The way it is 20 billion rand per annum, we are able to see that our electricity losses systemic are supposed to be 11% of that, and the balance is supposed to be losses. Those are mostly because of operating syndicates in areas where the students, most of the areas in Fuleni Bay Park and Fuleni Bay become student houses. And there are syndicates that are operating as we cut off. They run behind ourselves at higher speed than ourselves and connect people at a fee. So most of those electricity losses are basically coming from direct electricity theft and sabotage, if we put it like that. The billing functionality is a challenge. Basically, the same like the city as explained. If you see our presentation, you see that there's a disjunction between our billing and what we're collecting. We believe that that shows inadequate billing. And we also went on to a very serious billing program, which has also landed us in situations where people are not fearing to pay because we are catching up with actual the previous estimates and so on.
and basically also putting a certain state control in areas like Sebokeng and so on. That's why you're seeing uprisings coming up, because people have been used since 1984 in order to pay for services. And now the municipality certainly won't have any control that's happening. So that's the issue about BIM. Chairperson, I'll be showing you by year on year, just as a background, to say, if people were used to the Mfuleni municipality, since only 8 years ago, as the 1 billion rand municipality, you will see that 8 years later, it has gone 3 times. That is fast. But four times is fast. It's now a 4 billion rand municipality in terms of expenditure and income. That was just an illustration on the point. But also indicating that as it is growing at a phenomenon, it is also a negative growth, because the majority of developments coming into our area have also been RDP type of houses, which do not really contribute towards the income for services. They contribute mostly towards the bleeding in terms of payment of services and so on. We have also indicated that you see that in the budget year on year, but it's also just indicated that we are here thin line, that what we're budgeting and what we're expending are too close to each other, which also will then show that there's a reason why probably we are not very successful in building reserves over time, over the last 3 years or so. Municipal cash flows, without that, we will give you the latest, just to indicate the point we were making earlier, that our challenge is the cash flow at the moment, and we said the root cause of that cash flow is mainly in terms of payment for services, and that's where we're pushing at. But also, the root cause is also the EFCOM, exponential increases, which will demonstrate earlier its impact on our cash flows every 4 or 5 months in the new financial year. But the biggest issue for us is the issue of revenue collection and billing, mostly in the former previously disadvantaged areas. Chair, I'm based on slide 10, that shows the impact of the EFCOM on our results. If you look at it comparative to 2011 and 2012, you will see the kind of exponential increases that we have to contend with both in terms of paying for EFCOM to ensure that we comply with the payment. But the key issue also is that it's a short-term financing to meet that impact. To that extent, you'll see later on that the municipality had to raise an overdraft of about 150 million rand, which was also negatively reported in the newspapers, but not seen in context of it as a short-term loan to cushion the municipality through this period as well. So that is another indication to say that about the escrow. And then the performance of electricity and billing, you would see that there is, that's the point I was making, that there is a bit of a disjunction between our billing receipts and payments of electricity. We pay more than what we receive. That's the bottom line. And if you pay more than what you, if you pay more for ESCOM than what you're receiving back, that on itself directly goes back to your deficit in terms of cash. And that's where a part of our problem is. Water is actually worse than electricity, as I've indicated. Part of the problem of water, and again, most of the problem of water is still in a previously disadvantaged area. Most people, historically, were not measured, and where they are measured, the access to reading those meters and forcing payment has been very difficult, which results in a bad culture of water usage, because people do not see consequences for not paying, therefore they use water very legally, which means we then pay more to the water than what we're getting from themselves. That's why I say most of the classified water losses are actually non-revenue water, and you can see here that's the disjunction between what we bill and what we receive and what we pay the water. At some point, our finance committee was saying, you know, if you are a red water, you are in a very good business. If you look at the non-revenue water in municipalities, accounting combined, that you've got an undisturbed source of revenue, I'm sure it is not even fluctuating because you are guaranteed. And Fulham is going to use 45% of its water that they cannot control or bring out
and sporadic impact. Chepa said that when we were together, these details, I won't talk the details here, this is just to indicate the action plan for the oil findings in detail that have been raised, and the control tool which is used by the executive mayor and our internal audit to trace the action plan as to where they are and what has been done to effect of those. We've given you all the slides in here, precisely as I said, as a reference, so that if you look at the detailed AG report, and it can be juxtaposed with these action plans to see whether or not the actions we're taking are directly related to the findings. Any questions? I'll ask the CFO just to take us through the statement of financial performance in brief.
Thanks, Mantua Minister. Honorable Chair, greetings. Members of the Select Committee of Honor Properties, Elect Mayor, and fellow colleagues from Department. Chairman, we indicated two comparative financial years. On the first slide, which is presented, it's on in relation to the annual budget against the actual attained. But this is actually the unaudited figures for the financial year ended 30 June 2010-2011, for which it is indicative that we operated as a deficit. One area which hampered or which contributed to that deficit is the area of unbanking of our fixed assets in relation to completion of our fixed asset register, you know, which is we termed it Grep 17. What happened is that our overall assets increased from 2 billion to around 13 billion, having a net effect on our depreciation for the year. We budgeted around 129 million for our depreciation, but that increased to around 732 million to the unbanking process. And as such, we are at a net deficit of 487 million. Our operating expenditure on overall, I think we have managed to keep the mark except for few others, which is our key cost driver. Each collect is not later cost, we exceeded by around 3%. It is like interest expenses amounting to 186%, which if you look at the material base of the transaction, it's not necessarily material in proportion to the overall expenditure incurred. In relation to our revenue, as indicated, we managed to attain revenue of 3.5 billion in proportion to the total expenditure of 4.4 billion. Moving on to the next slide. Our capital expenditure for the month, for the financial year 11-12, we had a budget of 364 million. We managed to spend 326 million, which is well, it's around 76.2%. Out of that 364 million budget, we had an allocation of NIC 443 million, include, and we managed to spend around 144 million. Initially, part of the money which was spent is what we have rolled over from previous financial periods, which adds up by which money which indicatively shows that we have exceeded the allocated budget. In relation to the MIG counterfunding, we have allocated our own funds amounting to 152 million. We managed to spend 144 million of it. Our own counterfunding, we had allocated a budget of 64 million. We managed to spend around 37 million of it. This is basically due to the fact that we didn't meet our collection targets, and that affected the operational side of things while coming to meeting or implementing projects. Most of the projects have been rolled over for the coming financial year for completion. This slide just indicates the proportion of a percentage achieved by each and every service in relation to our revenue. And the following slide indicates the proportion of expenditure in percentage approx. And then we move to the 2011-2012 financial year on the grant spending. We received multiple grants from national programs
for which on overall national allocated to employee, we managed to hit a target of 96%. Out of that money which were been allocated to employee over the years, 80 million of the restructuring grants have been dealt by National Treasury, and also there is another 70 million which is still in discussion with National Treasury to be rolled over for the on-time financial period. On provincial and district grants, we didn't perform to the utmost depth. We had an allocation of 47 million for the previous financial year, for which even from that financial year, we had opening balances or accruing balances from prior years amounted to 12 million. We managed to spend around 52 million, which added up to around 80% of what total allocations we had, including the previous year, prior year allocations. I'll give over to the master manager regarding the budget preparation process.
Chair, the budget preparation process has not been drafted here to show process and not to show the IDP itself and its long-term and medium-term objectives to say how did we go about. The budget preparation process is the process of the executive mayor and it's driven by the executive mayor, supported by our IDP unit and the office of the speaker in terms of the public outreach program side of it. But by and large, it's driven exclusively by the executive mayor and the mayoral committee members responsible. We have an effective budget steering committee. The budget steering committee is a multi-party steering committee, which includes select members of the different parties. And then we have got approval of the IDP and budget process highlighting, including key stakeholders, key deadlines in that process. In terms of the IDP planning process, it gives you your planning phases from August up to November, towards March, and indicating at what point do consultations take place and so forth. Key stakeholders in this regard include, you would see later, public participation, includes businesses, consultations, business people, and civic bodies and so on. Key deadlines are both in terms of the MFMA deadlines, but also internal time periods to interact with the various stakeholders throughout the municipalities. The midterm budget and performance review in January 2011, we are indicating that because in 2010-11, there was all the finding of the AG on our part that during that period, we didn't do the midterm budget and performance review of the municipality as required in terms of the Act, and that has been brought into the system where there's a specific process to produce the midterm budget and performance review in January, which then immediately gets followed by the budget adjustment process. The experience has been, because of our, as we indicated, because of our performance budget over performance financially, over the past 2 to 3 years, we have been experiencing negative budget adjustments where we have budgeted downward most of the time. And then by the 28th of May, we have always met a deadline in terms of budget preparation in terms of MTF. Okay. The details here, I said I won't go through that. I will let the IDP process this. Just to indicate, the tariffs that you have in there indicate how the tariffs were increased, how they were used. But just to indicate one of the challenges that the municipality is faced with, which is being handled with the district, is basically we believe that the situation calls also for a financial recovery plan. And the municipality is in the process of developing such. But also what we have seen, part of our problem relating to our financial performance is tariff modeling. We don't believe that we have developed a robust tariff modeling which is aligned to our five-year financial plan, which results probably in some of the activities being delivered below their actual cost of delivery. For an example, small things like public amenities where we have people to get into the swimming pool, for example. When we look at those amenities, we discover that actually the charging fees for those things was not really meant to collect money. It was meant to control people using those amenities to an extent that it has become more expensive to collect the few money that is being used instead of just opening and putting people to control the use of the amenities. Waste management, other cities have done a deep analysis activity that goes of the cost per list. We've not done those things. So there are hidden hemorrhaging facts which are put about by the tariff modeling that we haven't done. Certainly we hope that other municipalities have done. So we're doing that tariff modeling so that we can bring back to that. And you will see that our water tariff is much higher, and from the public perspective, that is not accessible. We are next to the Vaal River. But quick pro quo, you'll also see that our property rates and taxes are much lower as well. So there is some kind of a quick pro quo in terms of that. But that's the tariff model that has to be done. Just finally on tariffs, the chairperson. We had a lot of difficulty. Rainwater passes a 14% tariff, for example. And there is an expectation that the municipality must do a 14% tariff increase, which if we did that, we would have done a net tariff, a negative tariff increase in that year, because we didn't add our own inflation and value-adding activities cost to it. So sometimes what seems to municipalities to be an unreasonable increase in the tariff is actually the true cost of the service, if you take add what rainwater has increased and what our actual activities are. So that is basically on the tariff. The revenue collection budget, I think the CFO has spoken to it in terms of the graph. We won't do that, but it deserves much more a detailed analysis in terms of collections per service. Key budget expenditure, there's a chart there that shows exactly how our expenditure Then let me come to personnel costs, which the AG has eloquently raised, that we have got a 50% vacancy rate and overtime. I just also want to assure the select committee that the overtime that is being spent is actually only being used in essential services. Fire, water, and electricity, and emergency call centers. All other members of staff are not allowed to do overtime. So that is where it is, and that's where the overtime is. In terms of the vacancies, we concede that there are vacancies in critical areas which we'll be looking at. We took a bit of time to fill them because of the cash flow, especially on the technical side, water, electricity, but most especially on the finance side. I'm sure that the AG that is was more glaring, but we have made a lot of progress this year in filling those things, those vacancies in finance. And the executive areas directive has been for us to basically look mainly in the financial department with the competent people that the AG has made a finding on, and I'm pretty sure when they do the auditing, they'll see a completely different change in that space. So, and then the 50% vacancy rate, the municipality is not 100% sure that its establishment is correct, and that we're doing a total review of the staff establishment. The staff establishment chairperson has been, as the municipality was established in the year 2000, and all we've been doing is just to change the boxes. But there's never been a process and systems analysis to say whether or not that was the right type of structure for that municipality. And that's where we are a bit resilient, and we'll take another 2 years to sort that situation. So there's a detailed compliance, I won't go through that. These are governance compliance issues. In general, I can say that all the compliance committees that are required are functional in the municipality. We've got the Section 79 committees, the audit committee, the MPAC. The audit committee has got all requisites, external, highly qualified people from all different areas. And the MPAC, there has been just a slight difficulty with the MPAC, which is transitional, which has seen us battling to even get our MPAC report to council. The transition between the elections and the submission or, and approval of the annual report from an MPAC point of view, that has been, that has affected us. But the internal committee, the internal audit structure is very functional. And we also have the risk and anti-fraud committee that has been established. So by and large, and under each and every one of them, we have indicated the actions that of compliance that we are taking.
Amounting to 597 million in the 2011-2012 unaudited.
Parliament. Here we had 657. Our current ratio at 2010-2011 was 0.71, and we improved it to about 0.08. Currently we are at an unaudited figure. Based on unaudited figure, at 0.797. Trade and other payables, we see that 100%, that amount of 701. The initial trade payables amounted to around 400 million. And within that 400 million, that included the ECOM deal, 425 million, and the 23 million able to rent daughter, which were paid during July. Chair, there's a lot of slides on those action plans. We're not talking about them because we believe they've been adequately covered in the AG report, but for reference, there's details about how those, as I said, that is the mayor's control tools about how she controls the follow-up on the AG audit. At the municipal manager level, there's the internal audit system committee, which is being done, and then at the mayor level, the mayor uses that process. Chair, as part of the way forward of the municipality, we are striving towards an unqualified audit with those minor challenges there and there, but we've made significant progress. We hope that when the current audit is closed, it will indicate a serious effort on our part to move from the history of disclaimers and qualified audit towards an unqualified audit. The objective of the municipality is to have an unqualified audit during the current financial year and hopefully move to an unqualified audit without any findings the year after. That is our performance target. What we have put here to the roadmap for an unqualified audit, you would see are the trajectories in the process. Each and every trajectory, when you open it and under those, it will show you exactly the detailed actions that we are taking towards attaining those and the time frames that we have put to ourselves. So I'm just indicating them there in case of time, so we don't go through them. But that's how it is established. Under every trajectory, there are different detailed activities about what has to be achieved to lead us up to the final audit opinion. And then we move to the last slide. Again, this is basically a slide that consolidates the operational challenges that we opened up with. And the municipality is focusing its attention towards addressing this, what we call basics. Because if we could address those basics like high water losses, billing issues, inadequate funding and so on, we believe that will sustain the municipality. And the second part of it, which I've also shown throughout, is also the strengthening of the governance, which there is a lot of submission in the report, that it is most delivery and the governance process is being section. The big negative publicity that has been generated out of the municipality has been its credit control, rigorous credit control program. We are establishing a revenue management agency separately dedicated with technically qualified people to turn around the revenue and billing processes in the municipality. We have also brought in credit collectors that are collecting credit from people, and that is not offering very well to people because it results in people going into the credit bureau because they do not have the leverage of attacking people's properties. So that is a very, very rigorous process that we are embarking upon. And part of the process that we are involved with now is a customer data cleansing exercise to ensure that the bills are correct, people are properly located where they are, in order to ensure that our billing, as I indicated earlier on, that our billing coverage is correct and contributes to revenue completeness issues. I have spoken about a shortage of staff. The other issue is also to look at part of the billing, Chairperson, and again, I defer back to the submission of the city. In the previous cities of those areas, what we are also doing is to do a meter auditing in those areas and making sure that we put smart meters where we can. That program is taking too long because we are not funding it ourselves. We're hoping we can get service providers that can bring the smart meters, pay for them, and rather share
in terms of the of the improvement. Chairperson, the rest is basically a repetition of where we were, and we wish to thank you very much for the time. And my mayor apologizes for our non-appearance in Beijing. We apologize for that.
Thank you very much, our mayor and MM, for the detailed report. I think the questions will come later. I remember we're supposed to be breaking for tea now. I'm not sure if tea is ready, but if tea is not there, we can just have a 10-minute break. And we'll see at 10 past 11 with the city of Fun. And then thereafter, we will then entertain questions from honorable members through various municipalities, and time permitting also take some people from relevant stakeholders that are here. And just before we take 20 or just before we break, we have received some submissions from the Tshwane Ratepayers Association, something like that, when we were in Gauteng, and subsequently they made the resident submissions, and we have looked into that, but it was my wish that as we meet, we would also engage with some of those. But I have since realized that in the interest of time, we might not necessarily be able to do that because we have not as well notified the Honorable Mayor of the city as well as his team about such submissions. So I think much as we might not be able to control whatever questions that might come from Honorable Members, but with regard to specific issues raised by that association, it is my view that perhaps we will look into our program and at any suitable time convene a meeting between ourselves again and the city of Tshwane and those people just to specifically deal with some of the issues. Because some of the issues that they raise on our members are issues of hearsay, but some are genuine issues that in our view will have to be attended to and corrected before they are taken out of context and create unnecessary further conflict within the municipality. So I just wanted to make an indication of that because I'm sure there is an expectation from those who submitted that those issues will be taken care of, but unfortunately due to time, we might not be able to do justice. It will have to be something that we delay at a separate or a later time. But will, of course, create some time within this camp before we rise. So, regarding in the case of members, we will have a 10-minute break and we will resume now at 10 past 11 and finally. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable members. It is past 4:15, the gentleman was back at 10:11. Is Chuani present? I'd like to see him get down.
Perhaps going forward and drawing from the 2011, is that there has to be a financial dispensation created in an event of an incorporation. And in this instance, we're talking of something like a restructuring grant so that to make it possible for us to discharge our responsibilities. And when we took on Kungwini, for example, we had to pay creditors to the tune of about 120 million rand. By the way, I suspect, in fact, I don't suspect, we know in confidence that the ratepayers associations that from whom we have received a representation has to deal with those areas that we have incorporated on the 18th of May. Obviously, we'll engage with the details once we have been given the opportunity to look into that. And still on that matter, and that's the second part, is we have taken a decision that we need to be active in the debt capital markets to bolster our program on the acceleration of the capital rollout and also just to diversify the revenue streams in the city. And then we had expressed openly our intentions in keeping with the regulations of the NSMA to raise 1.5 billion municipal bond. Having met all the requirements, and the CFO will touch briefly in that, I think our efforts were then frustrated by the opposition party in Kanza. And then we couldn't go out, but luckily we managed to raise it with two banks, a billion, and then we financed the other half a billion ourselves. I'm linking it to the ratepayers associated because when they get defeated in the debates in council, when we have met our requirements with regards to the imposition of the MSMA, then they clone themselves and present themselves as ratepayers. So that's the context. But I'm sure the detail will give it to you once we begin to engage. I know with confidence that those are the people who would have raised this issue that has to deal with the expert municipalities of Kungwini, Mitsuring, and Nugenza Daimani. But perhaps because of time, I'll leave the previous day. I'm sure we'll enter into the detail of the issues when we respond to questions. And the CFO, Mr. Jakala, will take you through and the directive of the chairperson. We'll just focus mainly on the finances and how we're responding to the issues that the AG raised in previous financial.
Thank you, Ramon Hopa, CFO.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much, Mayor. We will also honor everybody in this room with the call. Thank you very much. I'll just take you through the presentation because of time. Just take you through the briefing that we followed. Yeah, we followed the briefing as thought to put it in a critical manner from the development of the budget up until we go through the key financial issues and also address how the plans that we will put to play to address the figures for the finance. We'll look at the compliance with the Municipal Finance Management Act, I think with specific reference because of the nature of the problem that we had, with specific reference to the FN26 and compliance in terms of the long-term debt and the short-term debt, because it was one of the issues that as the executive mayor indicated, had a severe impact on our ability to raise the 1.5 million loan in the bond market. We look at the source of revenue collection expenditure. Also, the spending session that is in terms of only, I will look at the conditional grant on the that we receive, and I will look at the cash flow status, current liabilities, and then the control issues. Chair, as the executive mayor indicated, our 11-12 budget was not a unique budget. If you look at the fact that we incorporated three municipalities to form the city of funds. Now, one of the decisive decisions that the political leadership took in terms of the development of this budget for the 11-12 was the fact that seeing that four municipalities are going to form one entity, it is not going to differentiate the territory structure because there was a sentiment that they should be differentiated territory structure and we went ahead with the one single territory structure. Now, one single territory structure means the fact that there will be one budget and budget policy in terms of your territory policies, in terms of your property rate policy,
and also in terms of your credit control policy, you adopt one policy. And all those issues were addressed within the steering committee with the assistance, of course, of our provincial Department of Finance, which was very much instrumental in ensuring the fact that the compilation of 11 top budget was a success. Actually, just to indicate that basically it was also our budgeting was made in terms of the priorities that we had to make. We had to make significant priorities, and know that there will be competing priorities, and also the issue of the fact that there is limited profit. Especially when you take into account of the fact that we were taking over the budget that was not that is not necessarily usually in vain. I want to repeat what the executive mayor was saying in terms of the fact that we are claiming to say that we are the third largest in the world in terms of men's size. We've got a population now of 2.5 million people in Poland. Now, in terms of the financial assistance, as we indicated in the preface, the fact that we are still going forward as a case study, we need to have some financial regime. When you look at the issue of demarcation of boundaries. However, it was with great relief the sense that during our merger and the integration process, we did receive 20 million financial assistance from the Caribbean provincial government towards the merger, which played a significant role in terms of ensuring the fact that we migrated certain of our IT functions to form a single comprehensive billing system, because with this measure, we had what we call three legacy systems, which if we didn't invent those systems, we could have had a financial disaster in terms of the billing. We did submit our request for a structural grant, and I know National Treasury, with our friends down the road in Poland, they are very much considering our solution. When we developed that 11 post budget, we looked at various issues. Chair, you know the fact that it's between 2000 and 2007-8 financial year, Swale was one of the first municipalities to be hit by the financial crisis. You know, it's an open secret to us because it gave us an opportunity to turn things around. And I think if you go to the financials, you'll see the fact that we took that crisis and I think we made success out of it. So we implemented careful management interventions, initiatives and strategies, and also with the component of this budget, we said the fact that all those strategies will be implementable and they will be effective. We are also taking into consideration the fact that now, you know, it's an open secret again, because that most municipalities are already less than cashback. So we are looking at the issue of cashbacking of our debt when we combine the budget to extend that for the cost saving budget. We have said the fact that Domagadali will cash back 21 million every month, and we started doing that. So that our cash by the end of the financial year, we said that we have around 293 million cash back for reserve, which we can use for in terms of any funding tools that we want to use. This is the division of our loans, or we use anything that we want to look at. We looked at special attention in terms of funding initiatives. And great for money. I think one of the issues that when we were combining the budget for 11 and 12, we realized the fact that when we were merging, there were a lot of inefficiencies that were in the system. And one of the inefficiencies, for example, was regarding the fleet management. Everybody was, they wake up in the morning and want to go buy a car. They wake up in the morning and they want to go lease a car. So we implemented part of that, of ensuring efficiencies. We've got one comprehensive now fleet management strategy that we adopted as a city. And also, for example, in each and every departmental budget vote, there was a line item called special project. And we were of the opinion that line item called special project was used to fund other issues. So a part of efficiency and for money, we've done away with the special project budget, and anything that must be funded through special projects, the department had to realize that is that your core business. To understand that a lot of special projects fell away during the budget process. And also we consolidated all the events regarding marketing and communication into one central board. And also we are getting a lot of efficiency there now. Department, it's a paradigm shift, it's a change, people. However, I think we are utilizing the rest of the command. This one might sound very, very low-hanging fruit in terms of centralization of IT equipment. You know, we have a situation where, for example, you buy a laptop for 30,000. However, if you go to game, you get a laptop for 7,000. Now we've said that all the purchases of IT is gonna be integrated into centralized. Now we can say, for example, when you can buy top of the range HP because of the fact that we're competitiveness, we are competing with other stakeholders in terms of the market. We do price analysis. You can buy them for just about the price that we might put in. You know, so those are the items that we looked at in terms of the of that we are getting in a particular province. Now, scaling down, you know, of non-essential, it sounds very also minor, so that scale down, let's focus on core. And now we are also looking at also the issue of, you know, the discipline of language, where we say that it's not necessarily implementation of austerity measures, but the issue of ensuring efficiency gain and financial forms, where we say that we'll concentrate on our core action. And this is something that we've done in the comparison budget. Just in terms of the compliance with the FFA, we've got an institutional arrangement in Tswane where on a monthly basis we have got the mayoral committee in terms of compliance with law and regulations. And that report comes from government and it goes through the mayoral committee on a quarterly basis to ensure it's a simple tick box. And where you don't comply, for example, the 371 report, you know, the 371 report can be very tedious if you don't meet certain things, you know, and if you don't ensure the fact that you're monitoring. So we've got such a regime in Swansea where we ensure the fact that we comply to laws and regulations. We've got MPEC in place, very robust. We've got the audit committee. Currently, our audit committee now, we've got one single audit committee and performance for both municipal entities and the municipality. So we do ensure the fact that all the issues that are raised in the municipality are in fact eliminated throughout the municipal entity. And also we've got the 779 committees which are currently active and where they show that they've got an oversight process in place where they even go to the area where, for example, the 679 Oversight Committee, 2 weeks ago, they went to observe in the province, and they came back with a comprehensive report, the fact that Andy Leo Paul has been outside. You know, so those are the kind of oversight that we're looking for, and it's coming today. I think the issue of, in terms of the conversion of the budget, Section 42, in terms of the ensuring the fact that our budget must be funded. You know, we moved away, in the short term, we'll be very excited about this. We eventually moved away from what we call the balance budget to the funded budget, so that we don't have a situation where we balance something that is not in balance. We ensure the fact that TV, the budget is fully funded. And where there are deficits, we apply those deficits, and we ensure the fact that we reduce them. We've got the approved timeline schedule that was approved by council. I think we've been over the deadline. Our budget was approved on the 28th of April last year, 2011. I've indicated about the senior reporting. For the first time, I think aging will also attend to that during the audit. The fact that each and every Section 71 report in senior reporting was tabled within the title. We are very much confident of that, and we want to raise an issue in the previous financial year in terms of the audit. Now, very, very important. You know, this item, Section 45 and 46, is something that became an issue in Tswane. And to the extent that I'm quoting a certain opposition party, which was very much instrumental in driving this issue. Section 45, which is the issue regarding the bridging finance, which is in local called an overdraft, the bridging finance. I've quoted the Act. Section 45 states that the municipality may incur short-term debt in accordance with the subject to the provisions, and only when it's necessary to bridge shortfalls within the financial year during the debt incurred, which the debt incurred and the presentation of a specific and the presentation of income to the state in the financial year, or the capital needs within the financial year to be repaid from a specific account to be received from the possible allocation or long debt commitment. I'm highlighting this issue because the reason for the fact that we did not launch our inaugural bond is because of the fact that certain candidates from the opposition party went to alert our lead arena, went to alert the JSE, went to alert the National Treasury to say the fact that we did not comply with the spirit of the Act. And we are of the opinion all the time, the fact that we comply and all the documents were tabled and approved by council. And on the 12th of July, 2012, National Treasury issued a statement because they had to play an oversight role as well and respond because they were forced to respond. And Chair, I'm hoping to say that the reason you are bringing this here, that it's going to put to rest, this will put to rest so that we can charge ahead with the program of ensuring that we fund our capital. I think the last statement that was from National Treasury in terms of this is the exact quote from the statement issued. National Treasury can confirm now that with respect to the proposed bond issuance by the City of Tshwane, except within the legislative framework, it did not break any section 45 and 46 close code. I think this item with the word from National Treasury, it's an item now I think we have addressed fully because of the fact that we did not break any of these acts. But I think if you may touch on it in our presentation. Let's go to the state of the city's finances. If you look at that's our source of revenue for 11 and 12 for the budget and 12 again 12, 11, 12 actual. We've got a budgeted revenue of 19.064 billion. We have realized 20.020 billion. Property rate, we've got a variance of 1.44%. Where we've underbilled for 49.7 million rand. I think if you look at the trends in the past, I think our variance has been around about 100 million for property rates. I think with the reconciliation and the process of ensuring the fact that we are maintaining our valuation role, we ensure the fact that we are reducing steadily that variance. And part and parcel of that, I think while just to stop on this item. When we were faced with the issue of the merger, we had to make a decision. And that decision was, in essence, executive. In the fact that Nokengwa Taimani, Nkunguini, and Wale had active valuation role. Now now we had a situation where it either we could have had three active valuation roles with three rate policies. But based on the prescript of the Municipal Property Rates Act, that states how evaluation role must be compiled. We are of the opinion said that the compilation of the role of those three municipalities were compiled based on the fundamentals of the Act. Therefore, the policy that governs it can be one. That's when we charge to say that we're going to have one rate policy. And we are the only municipality land currently that's running with three evaluation roles, and I can say we are running it with those roles successfully. That's why we, for example, one of the issues that are raised by the Nukeng Farmers Forum is the fact that they've been enjoying a situation in Nukeng, where Nukeng, because of its financial capacity, could not implement fully the issue, the regulation of the agricultural category. Now, agricultural category, the regulation states clearly the fact that you must be, in order to get the benefit of the rebate, you must be a bona fide farmer. Now, an OKM it's proved to be a bona fide farmer, you need financial resources, you need valuers on the ground, you need an integrated land information system that can be able to detect the fact that this is a farm and what is the activity in that farm. So, in essence, every person that has a property that was huge in Nukeng was regarded as a farm. That was incorrect. So we either had to continue with that situation or we apply the fact that a municipality got an administration. administrative duty to correct any financial arbitration that was not done incorrectly in the past. Hence, you'll find the fact that all those properties are deemed as agricultural holdings, as without wanting to feed the farmer. We connected them to normal residential property. But through the engagement of the executive mayor and those farmers, we came to a resolution that after this, for the purpose of this valuation, we will regard to that you're a bona fide farmer. However, come the new valuation law, that will be implemented on the 1st of July 2013, you must prove that you are a real bona fide farmer. So those are one of the conditions that we made to the integration. Secondly, another issue that we had to address was the fact that in the Municipal Property Rights Act and all the policies that all municipalities, we'll find the fact that there's a difference between a vacant land and the residential land where the structure forms and where you get given an extension certificate. Now, because of the fact that also based on the financial resources, Winnie and Nukeng did not differentiate between a vacant property and a property that has a starting place. What they mean that they charge each and every property as if it's got a residential home, which was not necessarily correct, and also it talks to the issue of revenue. Now, with the taking over of the evaluation role and effectively managing it, we had to differentiate. We picked up there were a lot of properties that were vacant or that were not even in the evaluation role, that were not in charge. And those properties we have now categorized them correctly and we have charged them vacant properties. And a lot of people are complaining the fact that now the vacant property tariff is higher than that. In terms of our service charges, we've got 120 over a million revenue, and that is because of the demand for electricity during the winter consumption. Also, I think the last point in terms of the transfer gains and losses, there's a variance of 147 million. Now, during the merger, we had to choose which GRAP standard we had to apply in terms of the merger, whether it's GRAP 105 or GRAP 106. Now, we have also viewed the fact that through consultation with the accounting government board and our colleagues from the Auditor General, we applied GRAP 106. We applied GRAP 106 and we took all the assets and liabilities at a fair value, and the gain from this was 910 million. The next slide is just on the expenditure. Just to indicate the fact that we've got an over expenditure for bus services of 481 million. And one of the reasons for that over expenditure was based on the fact that, coming from the merger, was based on the fact that we had a huge increase in terms of our distribution losses. For electricity, which was that increase from 133 million in the previous financial year to 339 million in the current financial year under audit. And that is because of the fact that the newly composite areas had a huge losses. The same thing was applicable, which makes the fact that we had to prepare ourselves with an overexpenditure in terms of our bank purchases to that amount. We'll be able to narrow committee to handle for confirmation of our total funds. I think just to ask on this one, our conditional grant, I think our UNCC grant, investment grant, it's a known secret now that the Qual is number one in the country in terms of expenditure of that UNCC grant. We've made 98% expenditure of the grant. 100% on the transport, electricity, demand management is 9%. PTIF framework challenge, we've got 53%. Labor was grant, we've got 58%. Next slide, I'm going to tell you how we're addressing this challenge. How we have the plan to address capital expenditure. I'm filling up the column, told that for 2 minutes. The Aero Committee has established what is called a CAPEX Committee, which is chaired by the MMC, one of the MMC, which is the leader of executive business, and also the LLC for finance. Now, one of the things that the committee does is to look at the expenditure pattern. For the first time, in 2020, we've got procurement leaders in place that we are approved by both the MSC's accounting officer and the head of the department. The procurement plans are the ones that are taking up all the issues. So, also we've got the departmental panels that we are converting into corporate panels that we ensure that cross-utilization is efficient. And also, on a weekly basis, that issue, a case of support, that we ensure the fact that it gets tabled at the case of committee. And we are of the opinion that this will accelerate the whole spending. Currently, the whole spending for total spending for APEX with the approval is at 92%. Chair, it's an open secret that I said in 2009 we had cash flow problems. That's why you find that we're sitting with the 43 million after we've paid our short-term prison finance. We had a 43 million closed balance, bank balance. Instead, we've increased it from 43 million to 574 million within the period of 4 years. And this is based on the fact that on the implementation of cash management services that we've implemented, our cash is at 574 million. And also we're taking the fact that from July we are applying the cashback of reserves where we came up to 21 million a month for the next 12 months to ensure that we improve our cash flow. I'll just state the fact that we've increased our revenue, our expenditure was 22%, our revenue 28%. We did an assessment process in terms of review of our assets. Well, for example, your net asset was 29.8 million. Chair, because of the fact that we are very, very robust in terms of our cash collection, our net cash from operating increased by 2 billion. Also, because of the fact that we funded 1.5 billion from our 500 million from our internal resources, I think our gearing ratio reduced significantly from 99% to 33%. National Treasury will tell you the fact that they recommend that anything must not be above 50%. So we are of the opinion that we've got the appetite to go out in the market to raise our debt going forward. I won't go through the key financial ratios because I want to rush to the plan to address the audit findings. Now, as indicated, we've received all these years we've been receiving a qualified audit opinion. 9, 10, and 10, 11, we've received for the first time unqualified audit opinion. Now, what are we doing? We've got a management letter action plan that is which we are drafted. That management letter action plan gets updated on a weekly basis, and it gets submitted to the audit committee. And also they look at several of the significant findings. We are the only municipality in the country that is institutionalized fully operational clean audit. We've appointed 28 operational clean audit officials. It's not new staff within the department that we've identified. We've given them letters of appointment to say that as from today you're an OPCA officer. And OPCA officer only does some of the issues that they bring to. If you look at the audit report, is to look at the follow-up on all the audit issues, liaising with the head of the department, and we come back on a monthly meeting. We meet with all the OPCA officers within from the financial board, and we're headed by we meet in finance and we discuss all the issues that are raised by these officials, by the OPCA officers. And I think one of the things that we've seen during with the start of this process is the fact that because of the fact that we've got OPCA officers, AG can identify exactly which way to raise the query, to whom, and they can understand exactly where to get the response. The system has, the man indicated the fact that the OPCA is being tested. He's got an executive OPCA committee that is, and in that OPCA committee is the CFO, the city manager, and the head of the department. And also we've got support from provincial Department of Finance where they deploy the resources where to assist us with the reconciliation of creditors and assets. Now, the first issue in terms of our issue is the issue in terms of how to address the management issues. In terms of the revenue issues, We've got a process in place in terms of the verification of the data. We've implemented the computer assisted policing technique, the ACL, where exactly we are able to run all the scripts. Actually, by the end of the financial year, we ran over 30 scripts that will determine in terms of our really billing everybody that we are supposed to be billing. And also, I've got a revenue and upside committee that comes that's residing in my office to ensure that all the issues of revenue management are being catered to. Excellent reports in terms of the all the reports that come from the tax system are being managed monthly by the revenue team through the revenue meetings. Now, the issue of supply chain is a very contentious issue. I can safely say the fact that we've got the care system in place, where currently people that are working for Sunny, we are able now to determine that you are working for Sunny, and therefore we are not able to do that with you, business of you. And by the end of the financial year, we did identify people that are working for Sunny. We blocked those vendors, and we are currently doing investigation on them. The challenge about Section 44 is the fact that, and I think something that you must be addressed, is that we don't have the access to a database for people that are working for other departments and other municipalities. And the reason is that it's simple. It's because of the fact that Chapter 9 institutions are the ones that got access to that database. So we've discussed with the AG in terms of the fact that it's a regulation that I don't control of. However, in terms of the people that are working for Tswane, I do have control over Tswane. In terms of the people that are working for other departments, teachers, and even there, I rely on them to clear on the when they are tendering. Also, we have made a significant improvement in terms of our deviation. I think one of the issues, the first point of call in terms of in Tswane, if you want to deviate, the answer is no. Very simple. No. Up until you take it to the, we've established a committee that's on top of the peak adjudication committee, which is the executive acquisition committee that is chaired by the accounting officer. Now, in that committee, you must come there and tell us why you must deviate. And we look at the issue of planning very critically. Was it because of poor planning? If it was because of poor planning, we reject that deviation, and we issue the fact that it's an individual expenditure. And, Chair, I can even state the fact that we've reduced our deviation by another, from 500 million to 250 million, because of those processes that we put in place. We have, with the process of claiming our vendor database, we've got annual procurement plans for the first time. And those annual procurement plans are very clear. If you want to go out on tender and it's not on the annual procurement plan, you are not allowed to go out on tender. Because you realize that people wake up in the middle of the financial year and they want to go out on tender. And they say that if it's not in the plan, that you don't go out on tender. And the annual procurement plan will reconcile them back to the total budget. And anything beyond that, we are not allowed to go out on tender. We've got a system where we are tracking contracts so that we avoid another deviation. We are currently in the process of revising our SEM policy and all other issues that are related to non-compliance are being addressed in the SEM policy. I think we've done a significant progress in terms of compliance with CAP 17. We've got a consortium currently in place, and one of the deliverables of that consortium is to head over and skills transfer to what we call asset controllers. If in every department has got an asset controller, and that asset controller in particular reports to finance, and so that we can ensure that we've got compliance with all the graphs within the system. I think it's safe to say that there was no improvement that was as AG has indicated. However, now we've got an ICT scaling committee that was implemented, and it's been chaired by the accounting officer, and where all the issues of IT are being looked into. I think the issue of predetermined objective, we looked at the alignment and coordination of the 12 state functions between all role players. We've got the QPR regime, and also for the first time we've ensured the fact that the performance, the IDB, the SDB is aligned to the performance agreement for this financial year and for the past financial year as well. And also, what becomes critical is the fact that, you know, the minute there's an adjusted budget, I think we are in a situation where we don't adjust the SDB. And when the auditors come, they look at the SDB and they don't get, and it doesn't reconcile with the adjusted budget. I think the last issue that I want to address is the rollout of the organizational structure. Let me just report the fact that up until today, we've avoided all level 3 senior managers, with the exception of 2. And it was not because of our own, they declined our offers. But our structure now is fully capacitated and busy with level 4. We fully implemented the regionalization of the focus department to all the regions, and we've appointed all the regional executive directors, because we've got 7 regions in Tswana. And just to put the fact that there's a form of some stability in Tswana, that's one, senior managers. Only 2 senior managers are facing fiscal actions. However, we have all the opinion that the institution and the organization is currently staying. The role of internal audit, we've capacitated internal audit. Internal audit in Tswana, I think it's one of the issues that were raised by the Auditor General, said that internal audit in Tswana was highly under-capacitated. We've capacitated internal audit to the extent that we've appointed the chief audit executive. We've also appointed his direct reports, and also we've appointed the panel that will assist us, or assist him to ensure that all his commitment to the audit committee and the accounting officer are being met, and also his risk audit plan is being adhered to. And we can safely say the fact that it is now the internal audit that does the follow-up on the debt control that is being issued by the Auditor General, and also they are doing the follow-up on all the issues that are being raised by the Auditor General when we are adhering to the management action plan. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I like the picture of Swan, which is the last presentation in terms of our program. I will now take questions from all our members on the central questions. Honorable Makubela, Honorable Dupil, Honorable Liz, Honorable Bloom, in that order.
Thank you, Chairman.
Honorable Liz, you be there.
Before I ask questions, I would like to mention the following. The 3 months policy, we needed a very good enough time to engage with it. Because if you check the report by the audit general, you listen to the presenter, it needs a lot of intervention. But on the whole, I will ask, we need enough time with these people. Okay, my first question to Tswane. Tswane, you have said, I think this thing is not written by you, Mahara. You have said you are having 3 legals. What are those? Just try to expand on those. And again, Tswane, you said there are 2 senior managers having disciplinary action. What kind of disciplinary action can we be enlightened about? Okay. Tswane, can you elaborate on the categories of debt responsible for the material impairment of the 639 million, 687? At the end of the financial year 2010-2011. And you also indicate what steps did you take in order to rectify the situation, in order to recover that money. M. Fulani was really keeping us, he was telling us about having high rate of jobless, it is number 1 in the province, something of the sort. Can you try to come on with that statement? It's a very interesting statement. Let's try to elaborate. Can you also explain, which categories of debtors are responsible for the material impairment of 347 million common lives on the 2010-2011 financial year? Johannesburg, I would like to hear the following. Can you explain to us the nature of criminal conduct which resulted in the material losses of 6.1 million? Is the criminal conduct reported to the police? If the answer is yes, what is the cap number? And how far is the case? I'm going to give that the one back. Yes. The statement of the three manifestations by the British general. He said the actual meter readings were disregarded for the billing purpose. Customers build on estimate. How reliable are you? By doing it. It's all the municipality that come, because I know if you are in China, you are there. I'm also saying that that's why this thing is fluctuating. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Person. Yes, we are pressed for time. To the city of Johannesburg, if you look at your spending of your provincial grants, the public transport infrastructure grants, systems grants, coming from 2008, 2009, 42.9%, 2010, 195.4%, 2010-2011, 73.2%, 2011-2012, 41.6%. Could you clarify that to the committee, please, to Mkoleni, regarding your expenditure on your municipal infrastructure grant until 829.55.7%, 2010-83.5%, 2010-11.30.9%, and 2011.12.69.7%. Because honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, that is money that's treasury giving to the municipalities to spend to the city of Chwani, but also to Mkoleni. In terms of your fiscal policy, how are you servicing your overdraft? We didn't get that message very clear. What is your fiscal policy in serving your overdraft, and for how long are you going to carry that overdraft? Looking at the economic outlook in Europe, but also affecting us in South Africa, which will be here next Thursday when the Minister of Finance tables in the PBS. To the second finding, the last question, Honorable Chairperson, the spending of the conditional grant referring to public transport infrastructure and the systems grant. Very low expenditure, 28-29-35%, 2009-10-65.4%, 2010-11-70.4%,
and 2011-25-30.3%. This information we received from National Treasury. Thank you, Chair. Chairman, these are three municipalities which snubbed the committee on our trip to Gauteng. Mkoleni very graciously hosted us the next day and apologized profusely, and I'm very pleased to see them here today. And I do hope that you found some paint to paint the roof of the sewage plant. But the other two mayors appear to be less than contrite about costing the taxpayers a huge amount of money in our expenses in Gauteng and their expenses to come all the way to Cape Town. And I find this somewhat disturbing, that these mayors brush this aside as if it's of little consequence. And may I ask the Swanee mayor to confirm that he was indeed not at an air show at Pretoria at the time that he was supposed to appear before the committee, and that in fact physically he was dealing with the two emergencies which he referred to. Having made those general comments, Mr. Chairman, I have one last general comment, Mr. Chairman. I am surprised at the comments regarding opposition parties from an official of the party, Mr. Darcy. Listening to him, I would have thought perhaps he was a politician. Mr. Chairman, the question of drilling in Johannesburg is a vexed one. We are told today that it's all fine and that everything's been resolved, and there are a few discrepancies where you can't get access to property. I find that astounding. Why then were 2,700 odd queries rejected by the Johannesburg municipality when they were presented to them or attempted to be presented to them? Why is it that because it was presented by a particular set of people that perhaps it was rejected on those reasons? Can that municipality, with complete confidence, tell this committee that the billing problems of Johannesburg and Metro are no longer a problem? Mr. Chairman, can we be told why this problem occurred in the first place? Who had been held accountable for it? What action has been taken against those people? Chairman, the Auditor General wasn't able to answer our questions with regard to Johannesburg. The Mayor indicated that these percentages on the public transport grants are inaccurate. Well, the percentages that Honourable De Beers has quoted again to you, and they come from our researchers. But I would like some clarity on it. Why was it then, Chairman, that penalties were incurred for the non-payment of that? What was the extent of those penalties? And what action was taken against officials who failed to do their job? Please give us details of what resources were bought and then not used. And then, Chairman, the criminal point has been made, I think, by Honourable Commission. Chairman, with Swanee, a lot is being made about borrowing, long-term debt. I'm fascinated that a group of people who are referred to as the opposition parties can block this. I wish I had that power here in Parliament. Nevertheless, quite clearly there were concerns by the lenders or the sources of the capital. Can we please be told the extent of the current borrowings of this municipality? Not the changes, not the interest burden, the extent. And with regard, and I'm referring here to so-called current borrowings, the overdraft, but also to long-term borrowings. The servicing of the much is made about an increase in revenue of 28.6%. But how much of that increased revenue actually came in with newly incorporated areas? And how much was real increase in revenue? It is not true that your municipality or metro actually is seeing a decline in real revenue. Slide 22 tells us that excess cash is invested. Can we please be told where and how it's invested and what the return on that investment is as compared with the cost of borrowing? Your sort of says that the current portion of long-term debtors, that's not noted, the current portion is 109 odd million rand. Who on earth owes the municipality long-term debt? Who have you lent money to? Because just the current portion is 109 million. The current portion of your long-term liabilities is 349 million, and I've asked the question of the extent of that. Chairman, with regards to finance, has the SIU report on criminal activity and corruption and mismanagement been finalized? If so, have charges been laid and against whom? And if so, what monies have been recovered? And what is the extent of the losses that have been identified which are due to corruption and mismanagement? Chairman, in terms of both news, both matters, I'd like some indication of exactly how those metros are dealing with illegal connections, which are having a huge impact on revenue. There's a lot said about credit control, cutting off suppliers to consumers, but they're all legal consumers. What about the illegal connections? What action is being taken there? When one talks about the collection credit control, is that being applied in both metros, Johannesburg and Swane, uniformly throughout the metro? Whether you have a house in Harden, in Waterkloof, or in Alexandra, or any portion of the metro, is the credit control procedure being applied uniformly? Chairman, just in closing, may I just thank Blaney for a very pleasant day spent with you. I was personally very impressed with the particularly the waterworks and so on, and I look forward to coming to visit you again. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think that both of my questions were asked. Chairperson, I'm going to ask some questions. When I came in, Mr. Martina was busy here with the Auditor General, and the Mayor have said that they will explain to some of the issues. I think it's the time now for them to explain. But let me ask also questions from the Auditor General's report, this document, from Johannesburg. Mr. Lees has asked this question on, you see, on the second line, actual meter readings were disregarded for billing purposes, customers bill on estimates. What is the situation now at present? That is what I want to hear. And then, they are saying awarding of contracts to persons in service of municipality and other state institutions. Now, I want to know how many people were involved in this whole exercise and what action was taken. That is on housing. M. Fuleni. Shepherdson, on a slide, I think is the third page. It says, the Auditor General is saying, lack of consequences for non-adherence, lack of accountability to achieve clean audits. Chairperson, I want to ask the municipality, they must tell us what action or consequences the people who are involved, what action do they do? I want to hear that. And then the Auditor General is saying on page 6, awards were made to providers who are present in service of other state institutions. The providers failed to declare. Now, there are things that investigation of procurement processes underway. Who is investigating this thing? The Police General is raising the same issue, lack of consequences for that. They must also answer that question. Chairperson, I think that is all, because I don't want to repeat and repeat what other members have asked. Thank you very much. The opening remarks of the executive chairperson, of the executive mayor of Thorn, painted quite a picture with respect to the strange politics which were matched with Thorn, and also the complications for the entire municipality. And it indicated that only the housing provincial government made a contribution of 20 million to assist with the mayor. I wish the Swanee delegation could be able to put forward a proposal to Treasury with respect to that issue, which we can be able to take on. But again, on page 18, I was just attacked by the service charges increment of 5.9. And the presentation has stated that since the measure, there has been a single tariff structure. And if there is a single tariff structure, the question is whether it is the same costing for all households. And most in particular, the increase in service charges, does it affect all residents irrespective of the size of the property and so on. And then on page 26, Chairperson, on current assets and liabilities. The conditional grant has been unspent. It's page 26, but it's not written on page 26 on current assets and liabilities too. Now I just wanted to find out the reason for the unspent conditional grant. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, members. I'm not sure if there is any other member. Including our colleagues from the provincial legislature, if you have any questions. Nothing. Thank you very much. Those are the questions, Honorable Mayors and MMs. I think we'll start with Swan. The general purpose of proper recording, I would want M. Fuleni to confirm which one are correct, because in terms of your slide talking to top 10 candidates, the figures you are giving for electricity and water does not correspond with the figures that you give to slide 100 under changes. You are giving two different figures. If you could just confirm which one is correct so that it's correct as such. And also, if we clarify as to the reason why National Treasury has the 8 million we spoke about, perhaps we can also say something on that. And then we can finish. I have picked up that there's a problem that cut across the question of revenue collection. It's not only a challenge to this three municipalities, but it's a challenge challenge that affect almost all municipalities in the country. But I do not hear any of the municipalities telling us what exactly that you are doing to collect, particularly to collect from residents. Because in most instances, their debt book is quite higher than any other consumer. And focus seems to be on, or it seems to be all targeting those who are currently staying in suburbs. And if you look at the way things are going, we are reaching a stage where even those in suburbs are going to refuse to pay for it, like those in township. Now, that on its own calls for some innovative ideas in terms of how do we reach out and collect from those who are able to pay. We understand the indigent people, but a huge percentage of people who are not paying, even in the townships, are people who are capable of paying, including councillors and members of parliament in certain instances. Just to demonstrate how serious this is. So I don't know. I have picked up that in your submissions you are talking about installing the meter readings and all those things. But I personally don't think that is a long-term solution, because as it is now, where there are those meter readings, there are problems. You have just heard how they say they were doing estimates. And in the process of charging people on the bill of estimates, now you are back on charging them in terms of what is on the meter. You realize that their bills are going high, meaning you were all the time underestimating. Because if you are overestimating and as you go to meter reading, the bills go down, people say you are overcharging us. But in this instance, I would assume the metro has lost millions, if not billions of rent. I'm not sure if you have qualified as Johannesburg. But in terms of the submission, it would appear you have lost a lot of money. So that on its own is not working. I'm not sure if there is any other thing that you are doing. The other problem that I picked up is what is it that you are doing now to collect the outstanding debtors, as opposed to putting some measures into place to arrest that. When we were in Gauteng, the MEC for Cobra Bank talked about you selling out a debtors book to a specific company, and that has not been mentioned. But I'm interested to know as to what strategies are you employing to recover or collect all those outstanding services from the residential, the resident, government and business. And I think the other point that is critical is the issue of how do you deal, which is also a constitutive sector, how do you deal with illegal connection? It's rife in MCN has been reported. It will appear it's also rife in Gauteng. I mean, the entire problem in Tshwane is there, in Johannesburg is there, but the question is how do you address that particular challenge of illegal? It's a huge challenge, but you can't just say it's huge and don't do anything about it. Surely something needs to be done, because that is money going to waste. To Johannesburg, there was a point you made about urban settlement development grant. In your report still assumes that you are making this presentation before the end of August. We are now in October. I'll be interested to ask to what is the situation. Have you applied for that rollover and so what is the situation? Because you still say the closing date is the 31st of August, as if you are presenting before end of August. But the invitation to the current situation. Fani, Honorable Mayor.
Thank you very much. One of the most renowned scholars of public administration, Max Weber, he speaks with authority, and one of the concepts he introduces is of labor. So I'm going to answer some and leave to your bishop to answer the others. Let me state, Shepherd, in your absence, in the presence of the interim Shepherd at the time, I appreciate the contribution of Swami by saying the following amongst others, that I want to apologize profusely for my absence in the last meeting, and I shared with the committee that I was attending to a major problem in Mangaloni. So remember that two people perished as a result of a death water fight. So if someone chooses to place me as the HO, I can't contest that. The blame is on that person to prove to this committee. I'm saying to the committee that in demonstrating leadership to the constituencies that elected me, I chose to go there and I requested the officials to come and present the case of Swan. Perhaps the mistake that we made was not to send a political person to come, but we have honored the invitation. So if someone can see that I was at the issue, you place me there, but I was not there. I mean, there's evidence that can show that we're dealing with a major problem in Mangaloni. And the second one is, I raised the question about people trying to undermine our commitment that we have made to the public with regards to the delivery of services. And one of the things that we have introduced in this is was the need for us to be active in the debt capital market. And in fact, the opposition says this in the council, that they have nothing to fault our this ANC run municipality on, but they are going to attempt to make sure that we don't get a clean or an unqualified audit opinion. And chief among those is to ensure that we are unable to raise this money in the debt capital market. So I'm saying it was orchestrated. So the CFO, what you are simply doing was to underscore the point that I raised when I presented my contribution. And yes, he has got the right to state the fact. And that is this opposition that seeks to undermine our ability to deliver on our mandate. And we'll share it openly, I'll share it in the media. I'm sharing this respectfully, Chair, to you, to this committee. And the point I also raised in your absence, Chair, was that from where I'm seated, I already know where these great players are coming from and what the issues are. In council, there are members of the opposition outside the great players. And almost I can preempt and predict what are the issues they are raising. They have been consistent from the actual municipalities of Mizuji. So it was a duty just to state the fact so that the committee is not a victim to peddling, and we are able to raise what the facts are, and the CFO was in order to share with us the impact expansive on the issues I made earlier on with regard to raising money in the debt capital market. And then the issues around the measure, yes, I've also made the point that there's a cost to the measure. In fact, when you quantify it, it's something, anything between 700 million and 1.2 billion, that's the cost of the measure. And the point where the incorporation, that's the discipline of the language, we're incorporating those three municipalities. And the point I was making is that it is important that going forward, a dispensation must be configured to ensure that the incorporation is sponsored. Because there are calls that are directly related to the measure. For an example, the legacy system. I mean, we've got three IT systems, we need to put them together. And ensure that we use the 20 system. There's a cost with regards to the migration of the data, cleaning of the data. So that's the point we're making about the legacy system. Yes, we have written to National Treasure on not less than three occasions, just sharing with them what the issues are and the fact that we are placed in a very difficult situation, the predicament that we are faced with, and there's not been any response, by the way. Only the provincial government came and they were able of, like I said, the bracket 700 to 1.2 billion, they only contributed 20 million. We collect across. We collect in Atmejid, we read the cables, we go to Mamelodi, we do the same, we go to Amangras, and we go into Waterproof. So in all these areas, we are collecting. We are implementing aggressive, robust credit control, having followed due process as codified in our credit control policy. Yes, we control, we implement credit control across the without any discrimination or being unfair on part of the city as opposed to others. Well, going forward, we are doing two measures with regards to addressing the issues of collection and illegal connections. The first part is that the majority of these illegal connections are happening in the informal settlements. And when you go in there, demonstrating the leadership I spoke about, because the one thing I raised with the colleagues is that where committees are aggressive and they are aggressive, it's important that the political head must appear in person and take the flag and respond to communities. What we know is that they don't have an issue about pay. They simply want the electricity to be extended to them. And in this regard, we are rolling out the temporary electricity provision, because there's a legal formalization process we are engaged in to address the 180,000 sheikhs in the city of Tuai. We have already started with the informal settlement of Atrejid and Mandrodi on BPAID, and engaged their pay. And in fact, it's they who will then make sure that no one collects illegal, because now the municipality has extended. And as we move them, these devices are portable. When you take them to the same extent, we just uproot them and take them to the next to their final location, where we would have allocated them the service. And that's in the interim. But the more enduring solution is that we have passed a bylaw that makes it compulsory for everyone who's an end consumer of electricity in the city of Tuai to be on prepaid. It's now out for public participation. It will come there now, I think, in the next council meeting. It will be promulgated. The team is already working. I think it's about 3 billion funding that they will be required to roll out the prepaid in all the houses. It's all balance sheet. They've done the modeling. By next year, we'll be starting. Everyone will be on prepaid. By the way, the first people, one of the difficulties we are facing in the municipalities is for the poor to think that they are penalized by installing prepaid. So we're starting in the affluent area. And in fact, they are more than happy to receive it. If you look at the Pareto principle, 20% of these households account for about 80% of this revenue. So it makes sense to start there. And they are receiving it. So we're starting to roll it out there aggressively. I hope that a situation won't arise in the future to say, why are you starting in water group? Because they find the Pareto principle says that 80% of our revenue is located in the 20% of the settlement. So it makes sense that they will start it. And that's the last question I want to respond to before my colleagues go into the more technical questions. There's a bigger question of affordability. I mean, the basket of services we are providing to people, if you look at the projected escalations on basic services, just suppose that with the pressure and the strain that people are experiencing with regard to unemployment, there's a bigger political question that the country needs to respond to. Can the end consumer afford these services at the ultimate end? And I guess the bigger metros will be faced with that situation 5 to 10 years if the current target continues, that of affordability. So it's a question beyond myself and their doubt, the question that at the national level needs to be responded to. Yes, we are going to be faced with that situation. Just people not being able to afford. You can roll out prepaid, they won't be able to pre-purchase that because they are unemployed, they are faced with the escalation in water, electricity, waste collection. So there's a bigger economic question that needs to be responded to. But at least for now, we are able to attend to it going forward. So I thought that I needed, okay, on the PTIS, the reason of the underspending is the following. Remember that there was a dispute with the National Treasury about the and the National Department of Transport with regards to the alignment of the BRT. The majority of the PTIS goes into the BRT. So there was an issue with regards to the alignment. And really, the issue was the following, and it made a lot of sense. For example, the first line that was to be constructed was between the city center and Soshanguve. And the alignment was such that it was going to run parallel with the metro rail. And you can't have two forms of subsidized the public transport running the same line. So it was important that you needed to reconfigure the alignment. And that's why you couldn't spend on that money. Until now, we finalized the alignment with National Department of Transport, National Treasury. And you'll find that in terms of the current spend in the current financial year, will do exceptionally well than more than what the figures before you are presented. So there was that issue. So where they're spending, it was spending with regards to paying. As you see there, the spending going forward will be with regards to actual delivery of physical infrastructure going forward. But I'm sure the team can give you the rest of the question.
Thank you, Chairperson, and the members of the committee. My name is Ngobeni, I'm the chief manager as well. I think about 4 or 5 questions. The first one is with regard to the 2 minutes that we are currently being finalize cases about individual employees or contractors or external people. Those cases that have been finalized are completed. In other words, for instance, last week on Thursday I was in court the whole day, testifying on behalf of the city in one of the cases that was reported by the SIU. So I think procedurally, as soon as they complete the informer, and then we lay a charge if it's a criminal offense. We expect that it should be finalized by the end of the year. I think in terms of their schedule, they should have finalized, but they haven't finalized yet. And the next one is on the AG queries, the consequences. It is now in the performance agreement of the senior manager that clean audit is a target that must be achieved by 2040. So if there's no clean audit achieved, and in fact we look at the departments and their contribution, if the department is responsible for non-contribution, that senior manager is not entitled to one. So we're now enforcing it through a performance management agreement, and it is a known fact that the target is 2040. I think the final one is on
I'll try to speak for 2 minutes. The first question that was asked that I want is regarding the impairment of 638 million. It's based on the report that we submitted to council that we want to propose the right of first interest for all the residential accounts. Now our interest, when you calculate it, is constituted 20% of our total debt, which goes back to I think it goes back to beyond 5 years. And if you look at the issue of prescription, certain portion of it could have prescribed. So we use it as an incentive mechanism where we say that people must come forward, make arrangement, then we're able to write off that 7 million, of which we just only started for residential category, not for any other category. If you're in business, we are supposed to pay as the normal. In terms of the fiscal policy on how you assess your overdraft in the city of Pali, I will focus on the 11 and 12 financial year, where the overdraft is, council approved an overdraft of 1.3 billion during the 11 and 12 financial year. Of that facility, I think we only used around about, I think we started using the facility in the third quarter to run about the value of 500 million and above. I think just 500 million. Now, Section 45 is very, very clear in terms of the fact that by the end of the financial year, you must not have a short-term bridging facility. You must have paid it zero. You will notice in my slide 28 the fact that overdraft facility is by the end of the financial year is zero. Now, on a monthly basis, we've got revenue cash management projection, where our revenue we're projecting to get the revenue around about 2 billion cash on a monthly basis. All the 2 billion only coming from our normal operating activities in terms of our data. And we have cash flow focus and cash outflow focus, where exactly we know who to pay, who to send in terms of our credit card. So we do save our I think also it's the discipline of language that you must also adopt, that we don't use the term overdraft, we use the term short-term bridging facility, because it is a short-term bridging facility. Because the minute you use overdraft, it connotes to something different than that. Also, just to move to the next question regarding the long-term borrowing. Our long-term borrowing total as of the 30th of June, unaudited financials, our long-term borrowing has increased from 5 billion to 6 billion. However, based on our revenue, which has also significantly increased, our gearing ratio, what is the gearing ratio? It's a debt to risk. Our gearing ratio has decreased from 39% to 33%, meaning at least we still got a very, very strong gearing ratio to go out the market to actively participate so that we can be in process of saving in the infrastructure capital that we have. There's a question on the increase. I think let me just answer the issue of the 25% increase in the service charge. Now, it's a positive for the city because that increase in revenue. Now, the tariff increases for water and electricity is regulated by rainwater, and the one regulated by NERSA. I think we've approved around about 90% for NERSA, and about 10% for rainwater. However, the revenue that we're talking about is the increase is on the actual customer that we have built. Meaning the fact that our revenue enhancement strategy, it's working because of the fact that we are able to identify meters that are not linked to contract accounts. And we link them to contract accounts. We are able to identify meters that are estimation. We've got a program in Swan where on the month we run a program on a monthly basis that takes all the meters that have been estimated for the period of 6 months. Immediately, all those people, because I think it was the CFO of Johannesburg that says that there's an array of reasons why people because estimated, and one of the reasons is gates locked. Now, immediately when we find that category of gates locked, we send out an offer and read that letter to that property, so that we say that we want to get access to that metering, so that we can be able to. So that is why you find that it increases our revenue on service charges, which again to emphasize, it's not a negative for the city. It's a plus because now we are billing the customers that we are supposed to be billing. The issue regarding current portion of the long term debtors, in our credit control policy, we've got what is called promise to pay arrangement. Now the promise to pay arrangement, because of the fact that it's more than 12 months. We categorize based on the accounting standards, we categorize them as the current portion of the long-term debtors. Now, anything beyond that, those 102 to 108 million, those are people that have made arrangements beyond 12 months. So that is the portion of it. Now, Ted, I think the issue of credit control, I think the executive mayor actually alluded to it. The fact that we've revised our credit control policy, and I think if you go to the media, I think the media has even indicated that as one of the user-friendly credit control policy currently available in the division. And we are applying our credit control continuously. And the topic I can assure you yes, that we also do, when you've got a robust data book, must also do what's called targeting in terms of who you target, in terms of your campaign. Yes. So yesterday, one of our campaigns of Mamelodi, we went to target Mamelodi yesterday, just to show that we don't only cut waterproof and the east. We went to Mamelodi to target Mamelodi to disconnect. And also the issue of revenue collection, I think, Chairman, I keep a lot of slides just to demonstrate the issue that there is our plans to revenue collection. Now, we are also pursuing what is Johannesburg doing in terms of the right to collect to the tender book. We've got a grant from province so that you can be able to look at that. And also we've revised our policy. We are rolling up this project of security of raving project, it's an off-balance project, very innovative type of funding, I must say. And we are saying the fact that the first, it's not going to be your, what we call your download. It's going to be on the AI platform. So, because people ask you, but everybody is doing it, but no, they're not doing it on AMI platform. So we are saying that we will get our revenue upfront. It will increase our cash coverage, and also it will be part and parcel of the revenue collection strategy. Chairperson, I think I've covered the question.
Thank you. The reason why Dr. Matila was so defensive
is saying Mamelodi. Now they have targeted Mamelodi.
Johannesburg? Yeah.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll try and spend the 2 minutes with my colleagues with more detail and can use the rest of the time. Just to say, Chairperson, coming back to the matter of the PTIS and trying to put it as succinctly as possible, we implemented the Real Viable Rapid Transit System and the infrastructure thereof was funded, amongst others, by PTIS grant funding. But because, in fact, we were ahead of schedule, spending at a much faster rate and implementing at a much faster rate, we found ourselves in a situation where we needed to, in fact, raise money in the short-term market so that we were able to bridge finance resources that would be coming from national government in relation to PTI. So if you go to the actual graph that depicts spending there, it indicates amongst others that in 2009-10, we spent about 195% of PTIS funding. It's not because, in fact, we sat there and decided we want to spend 200%. It is because of an agreement entered into between ourselves and the NDOT that would spread out the funding. They would fund it in relation to their financial years, but would spread out the funding on the basis of our ability to raise money. So reporting on PTIS has to take that into account, and I would urge that, in fact, we refer to the annual financial statements of the municipality for us to deal with the actual numbers in relation to PTIS funding. Secondly, it hasn't over the years been as a result of underspending. In fact, in most years, we've been spending more than PTIS has provided. The only point we think we need to make, though, is that in the previous financial year, 11-12, we took a decision that we should reroute the next phase of the bypass rapid transit system, because the phase that had been identified was not going to go in loop water on Oxford Road towards Fenton. We took a view as the mayoral committee and it, in fact, considering that that's the same route that the whole train travels between Park Station and Fenton, and that there's support through the whole train feeder system, that in fact it would be a duplication of resources. So we should rather redirect the resources on loop water so that you're able to complement the public transport requirement on a different route. So that has been the impact of, in fact, 11-12, but certainly it doesn't reach the level of 41%. And I'm sure if you so require, we'll be able to provide the necessary details in relation to actual expenditure. But as depicted here, there's a degree of misunderstanding of what transpired with regards to PTIS. Now, Chairperson, just in the form of an analogy, if you see you invite a person and say to the person, I'm going to give you apple time, and then you meet this person at my gate, and they give you the requirements for apple time, and then you come into my house and say, that person needs apple time, the risk is that, in fact, you will have found a false pretext said to the person, I have the capacity to give you a time. Now that's the problem, because when people went and advertised to the people of Johannesburg that they have the capacity to resolve certain issues, and then they take the list of those issues, and lo and behold, they don't have the capacity to do it. And then they refer to the municipality, you have to take into account the number of things. The first is that you advertised under false pretext. Because in fact, you didn't say to the people of Johannesburg, give me your queries, I will give them to the city to resolve. You said to those people, and they emailed this, what is that SMS is there? You said to the people, give it to me, I'll solve it. Now that's not under false pretext. And it's important that those people who, in fact, advertise under false pretext begin to say to the people, in fact, we did advertise under false pretext, whatever purpose is, but the only mechanism for us to deal with this matter is through the acknowledged channels. Now, coming back to the acknowledged channels, we think that the important issue that relates to the relationship between the municipality and individual residents, and amongst those is the responsibility of confidentiality between the municipality and the ratepayer in relation to their respective accounts. And therefore, that in fact, we cannot engage with individual account holders through an intermediary, because in fact the city has not established a relationship with the intermediary. There are established mechanisms of raising queries and established mechanisms of responding to queries. And as soon as you introduce an intermediary, the risk is that in fact you're making your account a public matter and a matter of public discussion. There are risks that we have placed before all customers of the city of Johannesburg in relation to how you can assist customers without necessarily assuming the role of the customer. Because as soon as you do that, you are compromising the confidentiality of the account and the relationship the city has with individual companies. In the matter, of course, we continue to apply our minds to say how best do we deal with these issues. But we continue to emphasize the fact that the contractual relationship is between the municipality and the account holders. And their councillors are there to assist. But as soon as councillors assume the role of in fact dealing with the problem, they are now interceding and assuming the responsibility of the intermediary, which compromises the confidentiality that we have with the account holders. I thought I should make another point before I take leave, which is really to say that there have been a number of issues related to property valuations, which I think, in fact, is a matter related to subordinate legislation in the form of regulation, insofar as implementation of the Municipal Property Rights Act. There are matters that are, to a large extent, beyond the control of local government, because these are regulated by national government. And I'll make an example. We have been engaging with ratepayers in small holdings and those sort of segments that necessarily were not initially built as domestic ratepayers. Now, there's been a categorization that suggests that not only should they be built as domestic ratepayers with the same charges as all of our domestic ratepayers, but that this should be retrospective. Now, that has had a huge impact on our ratepayers, and we continue to remain concerned. But we are a critical statute. If we receive regulations, we have a duty to implement them. Otherwise, we would be flouting the law, so to say. So for us, it's important that sometimes as we engage in these discussions, we take into account the impact of subordinate legislation, not only on the municipality, but also on the ratepayers. And since I would join down and ask my colleague, MMC Makube and others to comment on this.
City manager has got 5 minutes.
Thank you.
Your mic is not on.
Thanks. Thank you, Honourable Member. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to elucidate the issue that the mayor has raised in regard to PTIF, in the presentation on slide 17, it shows transportation in terms of the table that talks about grants and subsidies. And on that table, it shows that the expenditure is 71%, which is the PTI grant. I think we will engage with the AG as to why there seems to be a discrepancy in relation to that. With regard to the question of whether the billing problem will no longer occur. The reason for launching the revenue step change program in November was really to lay out a path and dates on which we report back to the public to say this is the progress that we have made. And those dates also in the presentation said in February there were certain quick wins that we reported back. In June there were milestones that needed to be reached, which we also reported back on. So we are making progress along that program that we have reported to the public to assure that the public is aware of the progress that we are making. On the question of penalties for the non-payment of VAT, I'll ask the CFO to address that. On credit control, our answer is very similar to the answer of the Swami, that 70% of our of the funds that the city collects is really from large users, and the focus in the short term has been on that, on those large users, but that effort is being made through awareness campaigns, installation of prepaid meters, to ensure that all areas of the city are, with regard to credit control, is addressed in a equitable manner. Illegal connections, we are indeed got an awareness campaign run by City Power, as well as action taken against any individuals who are found to that has connected illegally, and those actions entail reporting to the police. There are two issues in relation to the actual meter readings, which was asked by Honorable Bloom. I will ask the CFO to answer that question. In relation to the members of or the officials of the city that are on the supplier database. First of all, we must say once we were informed by the AG of those 17 people, all of the implicated suppliers were blocked and they were not then able to access. Of the 17, two were on the database but had not accessed any quotes. So they may have given quotes but had not won any tenders. And of the remainder, the remaining 15, 12 had not declared their interest in the city, and we are taking action against them. We are also investigating. There are two cases where people have declared, but they are minority shareholders, just in relation to what the act says, which we talked about, if they have a controlling share. So we're investigating that, and action will be taken that is appropriate in relation to those. On the debtors book, we collect outstanding debtors. We've improved our running routine, and we also have a project in place, which is really to look at collecting that is collectible on the debtor book. In regard to the USDG grant, Honorable Chair, since August, we've applied for the rollout and have been granted by Treasury. In terms of the issues in relation to officials that have not or that may be implicated or not assisting in getting a clean audit, the answer is very similar to what our colleagues from Swane. We have in our performance agreement, a clean audit is part of the performance agreement. Disciplinary actions are taken against officials that blatantly disregard procedures. I think that answers most of the questions of the CFO, just to touch on the two issues of that and of the situation with actual and estimated readings in the last audit.
Thank you, Chairperson. With regard to the question relating to VAT, during 2009-10, the city claimed input VAT on the Rio Baya. The city interpreted those assets as being infrastructure assets. SARS accepted the city's claims at that stage, but in 2010-2011, SARS reviewed the opinion and said they saw those assets as exempt services and claimed input VAT on those assets. The city has subsequently engaged with SARS in that regard, and the issue has been split approximately 50-50 between dedicated and non-dedicated assets. The interest and penalties incurred, therefore, on that amount which the city had originally claimed as an exempt asset, and negotiations are currently underway between the city and SARS in respect to the claim on those interests. Penalty. But it was a transaction in the normal course of business, and one interpretation was subsequently challenged. With regards to the meter readings as to why actual meter readings have been overwritten by estimates, while there are issues within the city relating to the accurate processing of data, what happened is the transfer to SAP from the Venus system is a transfer to a very sophisticated system, which is a number of built-in checks in the system. And in short, one of the checks in the SAP system is to make sure that the level of billing against actual reading compared favorably to an estimate, to an estimated average over the past 6 months. And the problem is if an actual reading falls outside of that average over the past 6 months, the system automatically rejects those actual read estimates. The problem with that is that every month, subsequent month, is one will also get rejections of the actuals because the problem is getting bigger and bigger. The point which we're talking about is the inability to correct those averages, but that process is now underway, and within the next few months we'll be able to resolve that issue as well on the Sabbathing system. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Chair, just to close on the one matter, which was the 6 million rand loss related to criminal activity. That was in the JNPD, and the Internal Affairs Directorate is currently investigating it. And as soon as we have completed the investigation, criminal charges have been made, as well as internal disciplinary action.
Thank you,
Honourable
Mayor.
Thank you,
Chairperson. We had a public meeting that the Zimbabwe took the issue of Operation Patana, where we need to change the mindset of our community and they need to pay for the services. The community came with the suggestion that in Nevada, the service I need to discuss what is it that they should pay for. People who are against the payment of services, Chair, are the people who are working, which need national and provincial government to assist on that issue. Police and nurses and teachers, they don't want to pay services. They expect that you must be service free of charge. Because when it comes to the people that are not working, we have a police, the indigent police, so they are registered, it's not a problem. So that's the issue that you are facing as a municipality. But I request that the NM and CFO to answer the other questions then.
Thank you.
I've observed that CFO always speaks more than production. And you expect it to be other way around.
Through the chairperson, I'll touch on two issues. The first one will be on the tax and call payment issues. The second one will be on the WhatsApp issues. Firstly, on the tax impact, the current debt is standing up about 2.6. That just correct what you have said in of our presentation. Now, if we go to page 53 of our presentation, this is the breakdown of the category of debt. And it is notable that around 50, more than 50% of our principal debt is residing mainly in the water and sewer category. Basically because our sewer is water body directly linked to the water service. And if you also break it down in relation to the category of residential group, more than 80% of that debt is falling under our residential, mainly in our townships, unfortunately. The reason why this is related to elected is mainly based on the one issue. We can't really apply credit control measures in our township. We are not a native provider. That's all. And most of our soft control measures, mainly on the disconnection of electricity. Our residents are very much aware that you can't really disconnect in the township and if they don't want to get it just done. Then to go on a campaign of Operation Patana. Our impairment that will be most attached to us from that point. For which what you are saying is, on government accounts, we say everything is collectible. In DNC, 0% of the outstanding debt, meaning at some point you have to write it off. On sundry accounts, 100% of the 91 days and between 91 and 180 days worth of debt. In relation to the business and your list, also similar to the sundry accounts. All other accounts, we say that also between 90 and 100 days worth of debt should be there. In relation to our debt provision, we made a provision to say that
that's indicated, that's for the impairment, all the government debt should be collectable. Indigent accounts should all be written off 100%. Standard accounts, also anything above 180 million, we review it and look at what it is collectable and what's not collectable. But all in all, we use on residential accounts, we utilize the payment ratio for the previous 12 months as a base to determine what is collectable. Moving further to the servicing of the overdraft, in one of the slides presented, just after the cash flow, we indicated the effect of the ESCOM billing, for which in Mfuleni, most of our heating, major heating, welcome to our cash flow, are mainly on ESCOM segment. We do money to pay the ESCOM bill on time, even though they don't give us the PD as anticipated. They need that bill to be settled within a short of 2 weeks. The main intention of raising the overdraft was just to settle the, just to address the inter-seasonal billing of the ESCOM, for which it was in excess of 200 million on month-to-month basis, payable in June, July, and August. That has a significant impact on us. We do manage to set our overdraft facility in time. Last financial year, we did manage to raise the 90 million overdraft facility. We were able to settle it in time. Unfortunately, due to the expectation of the high tariffs and also some increases, we have to also consider the revision of what should be the net borrowing in proportion to that, in terms of the short-term debt. Again, also, we are not entirely going to rely much on our water facility for operations. That is also supported by our key measures, which we put to the table, say that these are what you are intending to embark upon. One of the issues is our revenue turnaround strategy. Remember, as it is currently, we don't have enough reserves. We don't actually basically don't have reserves to bridge our finances in relation to those kind of funds. All of them. It's something which I think in most municipalities, especially lower, smaller municipalities, they get crippled in relation to their cash flow coming into the ESCOM bill. We formulated the revenue turnaround strategy, we formulated the what is with the financial command plan in order for us to streamline our operations so that we reduce our reserves and reduce the line of the short-term property. The unfortunate part is that is not the overnight exercise. As we know, evidence by the issue of funds, they indicated that they experienced the financial cash flow difficulties in 2008. And for them, luckily, they did manage those kind of issues up earlier into the process. With municipalities of our side, although I think it will be much of a difficulty, it will be a challenge, but it's something we're looking upon to ensure that that kind of life is minimized at all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think the 2.6 billion is your data book, or what I was saying you should correct, in terms of your breakdown on the page 100, slide number 100, water accounts 241, whereas on the other slide it was 180 per annum. Electricity 60 million, on the other slide was 20 million per annum. Those are the figures that I think you should correct so that you record proper figures. The same as with the overall data book, which was 200, that I decided 2.6, which we have corrected. So if you could not give the infrastructure, also you said 20, but on the other side is 9 million. So that's what you would need to correct and so the secretary for proper capacity. Thank you very much, Honorable Mayor. Let me take the point that the AG's office was to respond to. Your Honor.
Thank you, Chair. I'll cover all the questions previously. In respect to the city of Johannesburg, the VAT, as the CFO has already touched on, the quantum is 87,000. Examples of material amendments to the financial statements, it pertains to the capitalization of assets and revenue adjustments for the accrual, as I mentioned earlier. And then on the compliance, we have referred to it on the report as expenditure for resources not what the city of Johannesburg municipal entities, in particular the Johannesburg Zoo, they paid about 1.1 million for the upgrade of animal enclosures, and they paid the supplier who subsequently went insolvent and was unable to render the services. There's been reference to the PTIS grant and some mention of the AG, but I just want to provide clarity. It's not in our report or has not been referred out by us, so I'm in no position to comment on that because I'm not sure what the information they relate to. As far as interleaving was concerned, I think clarity was sought on the liability of predetermined objectives. About we mentioned that 61% of the targets were not liable. When we're looking at the liability of predetermined objectives, we are testing validity, accuracy, and completeness. We'd be looking for a municipality to provide corroborative evidence that what they've reported on can be substantiated. And there was no documentation in order for us to see whether indicators were supported. The indicators we looked at were service delivery, tenant use, economic development, financial management, and community safety. And we also mentioned that the information was not useful. Also, some of the findings of performance targets are not smart. The IDP and the budget, as well as the annual report, were not aligned. We also touched on vacancies being at 50%. Without going into too much detail, the vacancies that the municipal manager has touched on were in finance. The particular sections were the service delivery reporting section, the property, plant and equipment section, and the CFO position was then vacant, as well as the expenditure management. But in the AOP audition, they did have a manager, but they just need to capacitate that unit. In terms of IT, we mentioned that the access controls and security, some more detail on that is that the password controls are not as robust as they should be. The passwords being used are not as complex as they should be. There's no process to monitor system upgrades. Past employees sometimes have access to the systems, and application access privileges are not necessarily reviewed. The amendments to the financial statements, as I alluded to earlier, were around property, plant and equipment, trade payables, bank provision, and expenditure. Another question was on the issue of the audit of predetermined objectives around when was training commenced. Since the implementation of service delivery reporting, which was from 2005 to 2006 financial year, National Treasury, together with ourselves and also Provincial Treasury, we've embarked on creating an awareness and conducting workshops on service delivery reporting. And so we've been providing training for a number of years. And then we've also reported on the readiness of government to report on the AOPO in previous general reports. Also, there was a request for more detail on the awards to the various states. Members who are working in the municipalities and state institutions. It's on page 20 of the general report, but I'll give members a detail. And as far as the city of Johannesburg was concerned...
That's fine. If you can not read that to a page, in the interest of time.
It's page 50 of the general report.
Thank you.
And then, Chair, we mentioned the general report, and that's why I had not given previous detail. Our corporate executive, Mr. Paul Sabot, extended an invitation to this committee for us to be able to take you through the general report. And with going through the general report, we will be reflecting on not so much the 10-11 audit outcomes, because I think we're quite familiar with that, but to say going forward, what needs to be done, what interventions and initiatives are put in place to respond to clean administration and improve the audit outcomes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, National Treasury. Mayor?
Yes, I think that's a question that I wanted to ask in the session of the 80 million and the big fund, why you come to me as the union. So I think that's a good question.
Okay.
I love it.
10 minutes.
80 million rand was a historical structuring grant for them, which was given to a planning. First phase after integration, and it had the milestones over a period of time. I think there was a misunderstanding when Treasury issued the directives that all unspent grants by previous financial year will be recalled. And Mulaney was of the view that because that was a particular grant to
change it to try and do it as that. We claim all attempts to try and get a reconciliation on that matter couldn't be on the mix. As I said, you know, with the consequence that with that, if Treasury technically would say we issued a directive on all grants. But as I said, the understanding was that this was a grant that has been ongoing on our part for the past 5 years and it was linked to our own development process. They said on the mix, there were challenges, most of the challenges related to capacity that has now been addressed. And you see there's a trajectory of improvement on the mix. But also beware, Chairperson, the mix problem, the issue of that in terms of reporting on us on the technical side, we report a higher figure and on the finance, it is downgraded because of the rent portion of it. So the mix is slightly now much higher than what it is. That's the policy question that has to be considered by the debt committee and the request. The application with national treasury of recalling MIG was arrested. I think other mechanisms could be that, like maybe including even the funding or whatever, in such a way that institutions are hoping to that. But it's very difficult to penalize the community because the MIG is meant for basic services. It's difficult to penalize the community because some official somewhere didn't request or that municipality doesn't have the capacity to do so. And even when you request him for over that, that also, I think something that could be done at the policy level.
Chairperson, thank you. I think I must thank all members and officials, the mayors, and those that also engaged today. From the treasury perspective, I think just a few comments. We do engage with the cities on the budget engagements during the preparation period as well as during the final budget tabling. So the engagements on recommendations are being made, and in many instances those recommendations are taken forward. So that's a positive engagement that's happening as part of the process. The Section 71 reports where these numbers have been quoted from are reports that are signed off by the municipal managers. So what you see in the publication is not any of our fabrication or imagination. It is there from signed off reports that have been published, that have been submitted. So when we publish it, that is it, what's been published. What could be an issue that needs to be addressed is because municipalities are operating on a pool system, they may not be utilizing all the commitments and goals that they should have been capturing into Section 71 reports as a recognition of expenditure. And that could be the slight deviation that colleagues were referring to and others were referring to in the meeting today. So we need to look at it a bit more closely and try and get it aligned into the right way. In that regard, we have introduced a table in the new annual report format that will translate the numbers that you see from the Section 71 into the numbers that you see that have been disclosed in the financial statements, a reconciliation made thereof. So that would help oversight authorities as well on our numbers. So there's something there that needs to be looked at, but of course, what we get is what we publish. So we don't change any numbers. In terms of FMA compliance, I think we've engaged with the Office of Auditor General on a number of instances now on the whole report and how things have to stand there going forward. We can improve our working relationship again with the team. But what is glad to know is that audit action plans are being taken seriously by these municipalities. Of all municipalities, but especially by these municipalities, one can see the audit action plans are in place and it's being reported on regularly, which is a very positive sign towards achieving the 2014 outcomes. And then lastly, just as a broad comment, the ratios that you see, the financial ratios, it appears that wherever you sit, you have a different numerator and denominator in arriving at a percentage or a ratio or a rate. The municipal context. So we recognize that. So you'll see one percentage being put out by Sony, another one by Joburg, another by Tikrini, and so forth. We're working together with those big cities and other municipalities to set out some kind of standard ratio that we all would use. And including this would be the rating agencies, because it's critical for the big cities that we all use the same issues and the rating agencies. The rating agencies also do the same. So it's not who's getting who in the process around an adequate and interpretation. That helps us. So from a positive perspective, that's where we're going in the foreseeable future to deal with the matters. that. For us, I think the big challenge is, as you alluded to, is addressing the revenue issues. We're not dealing with small institutions here. These institutions are billion rand institutions, and they cannot continue with the revenue challenges that we face year on year on year. Revenue challenges is going on from 1996. It's not a new issue. But we need to find a way and a mechanism to resolve this. Whether it be through write-offs, whether it be through reviewing the processes that we put in place and so forth. But something has to be done to get to the bottom of this matter and have it resolved. I think we are relying on the big cities as the growth engines of this economy, and we must recognize that and give the fair opportunity to those municipalities. Chair, I think then in conclusion, most of the comments have been said. The big issue for us as well, just to the end, is trying to address the reforms that we see and the financial management reforms and the extent of which these big cities are now moving. They're moving quite fast, some faster than some provinces, in the way of the economic development and the financial development. In order to engage with that, we have looked at different models for the big cities as well. And that's a reform that has been engaged in with the National Treasury. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much. On our members, I think we unfortunately have to come to an end of this meeting. We would have loved to have much more time. Like I said in the opening, that this meeting was held for the whole day, but this 2 o'clock dinner, which was convened, and then we had no choice but to end our business halfway. But I think I need to appreciate the input made by all three municipalities, particularly the details in the report, because the reports are quite detailed and it will help us in terms of clarifying a number of issues that are currently in the public domain. And I must indicate, Honourable Mayor, that we have taken a view that when submitting our report to Parliament, we then ask for debate in terms of issues that we have picked up from municipalities in Gauteng, and we will definitely extend invitation to South Africa that you become part of such debate, so that you also raise issues that will need to be put in the national agenda, so that the different ministers can be able to attend to issues that you need assistance on. Rather than just noting what are the challenges. I am quite aware that flowing from our previous meeting and today, there are a number of issues that other departments, like OTA and NAMDEM, that could not speak today. We still have to follow up and check how far in terms of addressing these issues. The issue of water in the Fani and Northwest borders, there are a number of issues relating to water and all these things. Progress with regard to the wastewater in the Mfuleni area and so forth and so on. So we have to follow up on those just before the actual debate on all the deliberations, before we rise, or even if it's early next year, but we'll communicate the things with the mayor and the municipal manager. So as well as SALGA. I'm quite aware that SALGA was also supposed to say something, but we have your report in terms of the work that SALGA is doing, as well as COPDA, to try to assist. And those will also form part of our engagement in the debate and help us moving forward. So I just wanted to highlight those just for the record purpose, so that you don't ever feel that you wasted your time or by preparing such report or by being here. We quite take them seriously, and I'm sure the department, COPDA as well, will always form part of our debates, the minister or the deputy minister, whoever comes, and we'll find space where all these things that you could not address today are finally brought to the fore. So I really appreciate your being here, on stakeholders, the mayor, as well as the municipal managers. Anything from there, I don't know if there is something that you wanted to leave us with.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your support. All the time we are with us, if you not play the problems. We really appreciate your support. But lastly, honorable members, particularly the mayor, as a select committee on finance and appropriation in MCOP, we know that you participate through SALCA, and we appreciate the participation of SALCA. But we would appreciate if sometimes we get direct inputs from yourself, particularly on issues relating to the division of revenue and appropriation fees. The changes that need to be effected, because we are the committee that's supposed to recommend those particular changes. The issues that you were raising at the chamber about your views on why national treasurer should not do this and this. Some of the things we do raise, but with your support, the taking, we can go through. And if you are not able to come, make your submissions to SALCA so that SALCA can make those. We have seen in the past where municipalities from KZN in particular come directly with SALCA to say these are our issues affecting our municipality insofar as this division of revenue is concerned. We want this and this. And there has been some movement from the national level in terms of accommodating some of the challenges. And we would love to see a situation where the metros in particular participate, because we can learn more from your experiences as metros. It will be an enriching experience if we interact more frequently with yourself. Whether directly or through your representatives in Gauteng, Honorable Mundisi represents Gauteng in this committee, and in best place if you are able to come, if you raise issues with him. There have been a number of issues that Honorable Gauteng through the department raised, and we had to take them through to the National Treasury as they were raised by honorable Mundisi. We expect all provinces to be the same. But the movement seems to be very slow, and that's why it will appear as if Treasury came from other provinces to others. But the reality is that those provinces which come and participate and put their things obviously get to be yet more than those who are just fine. We are just making for you to use us. Because NCOP is just here to take to the fore issues of the province. And in this instance, it will be much more important if we interact with yourself. We don't necessarily have to meet only when we call you. Sometimes you might call us. We can come as chairpersons and hear, or as members and hear what your concerns are and bring them here and all those things. Like the issues that MCOP raised with regard to the water treatment, but after that visit where they explained to us how it works, the load it carries of the entire province and all those things, we are beginning to have a better understanding, and we can be able to support some of the issues that the entities of finance raise in the budget councils and budget forums where we also participate. So that is my closing remarks and a plea at the same time to your honorable friends that let's work together, because our honorable. And on that note, I wish to thank everybody and wish you a good day. And this is again on the road that is the finger line as we move outside, and those of us who are right here.